The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout.
It's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Play fake to Blunt. Tom fires down the middle for Edelman. Leaps to make the grab. Comes down with a stiff arm. Runs away from a defender. In the clear to the 35-30. Julian to the 20. Edelman to the 10. Edelman to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Playmaker, make a play.
Woo! A wonderful effort all night long by the defense and the special teams, and the offense comes through in the clutch. Patriots win it over San Diego to improve to 10-3.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday at Gillette Stadium, raining hard, but I'll tell you, it does not dampen the mood here at Gillette. Everyone's excited about the big win in San Diego, and yes, it was a big win. December, fighting for that first seed, trying to keep it. San Diego's a good team.
Are you arguing with?
They're fighting for their playoff.
Right off the bat, who said it wasn't a good win?
They're fighting for their playoff life.
It wasn't a big game.
San Diego's a good team. This game lived up to its billing. Excellent win for the New England Patriots. All around, good win for them. Keep that first seed. Jets lose. Well, you know, that makes the weekend always good. Buffalo loses. Miami loses. Peyton Manning's decline continues. It was a good weekend for New England Patriots fans.
And can you tell me who you're arguing with? Who said that wasn't a big win?
I didn't say
anyone
said it was.
And yes, it was. It's like you're talking. You and Zoe are very similar. You have arguments on radio that don't exist. And I got to give him credit. He was good. Little Ric Flair. Woo!
So,
he's upgraded from the to the woo.
Oh, he had that.
Get up!
It was just an amazing weekend from the game.
Where's the beef?
Working backwards to the party the night before, the amount of people. I'd say there were at least 20,000 Patriots fans in the crowd.
Bill Belichick said it was unprecedented, in part because they were all in one area, felt like a bowl game.
It did. I saw Ben Vielen write it. I tweeted out before the game. I thought the same thing. It really felt like a Super Bowl where, you know, it was evenly split when things happened.
And isn't, I blame the Chargers for that. I blame the Chargers ticket. Like, how did Patriots fans end up with all these seats right behind the Patriots
bench? Well, you know, they often in San Diego are right up to the deadline selling
out.
But as soon as the, you know, which tells you they don't have a lot of season ticket holders. So when the schedule came out, New England fans just snatched them up.
I would have tried to spread them out. Oh, we don't have anything there. I'll put you in this. I would have tried to spread everything out a little bit. I think
Zoe was talking about it today as I was driving here, and he was saying that during the pregame, the ushers let them all go behind the Patriots bench, and
right.
then they sort of dispersed during the game.
I can't tell you.
That's not accurate at all.
Well, that's just what Zoe said.
If you look during the game behind the Patriots bench, that section was 80% Patriots.
See, I did
that's
that.
What
and
Bill
I,
said.
And I told you the story when I went to San Diego as a fan in 96. That's exactly what we did. I didn't have tickets behind the bench, but we ended up behind the
going
bench.
Back to the 40s, Paul.
They didn't have any problem with you moving around as long as you weren't sitting in somebody's seat.
Right.
Yeah. If people were, you know, if there was an empty seat there, and that's where we all ended up is behind.
But what I'm saying is, this isn't where they
was
ended
not,
up.
And
this
we didn't have as many people.
Were. Right. That's what I mean. That's why I blame their ticket office. Spread them out a little.
We didn't have as many people as the Patriots had
but,
there.
But
the
you know, and that was a highly congested Patriots era. But throughout the stadium, I mean. It was a lot of Patriots colors throughout.
That was a quality Brady chant late.
Oh, yeah.
It was like remember the Houston-Dallas game?
We said they
game?
Should invite those fans to Foxborough.
Remember the Houston-Dallas game
I
earlier
said,
in the
well,
year?
We had to go to San Diego for a home field advantage.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that
Did
were
you
at
block
the...
that?
No.
Oh.
Oh, you should.
I just said it live on the air. That's all.
You should have. That's a good tweet. Yeah. See, that's why I don't like Twitter.
I said
you
it...
can't tweet good stuff.
Yeah.
Call a guy a midget and you got to apologize.
Whoa. What's this?
Marvin Lewis called Johnny Manziel a midget and had to issue an apology because midgets and little people.
Why did he do that, though? What,
it was a question about quarterbacks. You know, do you have to prepare differently if it's Manziel or Hoyer? They're playing the Browns this week.
Yeah, no, I know.
And
that.
Preparation. And he said no. You know, he gave the Bill answer. You prepare for the offense, not the player. You prepare for the scheme and not the player. And then there was like a one count, two count. The guy actually starts the next question on his radio show, and especially if the guy's a midget. I don't know if it was meant to be a shot or a funny.
Yeah, I think that, talk about like things that you know.
Plus, he's not really
bulletin
a
board type stuff. Right. Well, yeah, he's NFL midget is a little different.
But even
than
that,
you
like,
I
mean, he's not Doug Flutie midget size.
Yeah.
You know, he's Drew Brees.
He's small
short
for a
quarterback size.
Yeah, right. He's small for a quarterback.
But I also really we had an issue an apology, and now they're saying the apology wasn't enough because he didn't specifically.
Oh, well, we'll get into the head coach trolling a little later because there was some of it going on this weekend. But you know, obviously, we want to stick to Patriots here.
Sure. Because it was a big game. Don't let anybody tell you
right.
otherwise.
If somebody tells you that wasn't a quality opponent and a quality win.
I won't stand for it.
Right.
I won't stand
I
for you
I will burn
saying
that straw man down to the ground.
Exactly.
Big but defensive
it was
effort,
like that,
Freddie.
That Houston-Dallas game earlier in the year when Dallas was getting false starts on offense because the crowd, it was in Dallas and it was all Houston people and they were making, but that's Houston and Dallas, not New England and San Diego.
Yeah, it's a little different. Good vacation. Good job on the West Coast peeps getting there and everybody else.
It was unbelievable. At this party Saturday night, 40 different states represented, 8 different countries.
Which 8?
I don't know. I know Sweden was one. I know England was another.
The U.S. was one.
Yeah. But I don't know all of them. But that's according to Barry and Sion, who sent us an email. We'll read that a little later. But 8 different countries represented.
That's impressive.
It is. And that place was jamming. It was unbelievable. It was so good.
Even Eric went to the party.
Even Eric went. Bob Soucy danced on stage.
I can't believe no one broke out a phone.
How
did you not get that on video?
If somebody has video of Zolak and Soucy dancing on stage, please post it.
Mostly Soucy.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised about Zolak.
Zolak does that in real
right,
life.
Right.
Like we
That's
might,
like saying
we might
Gronk
bump into
danced.
Him. We might bump into him right now, you know, in the hall, and he could be dancing.
Right.
But
right.
I'm sorry, Bob Soucy dancing to Jump Around. I need to see that.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me think that, I keep thinking of Robert at whatever one of the ones he danced with.
Right.
The first one, I think.
The first
Super Bowl
Troy
celebration.
Ty Law. Yeah.
That's how I picture Soucy.
Yeah. I was outside.
Gold.
It was so hot in there. I was outside. And I was peeking in from backstage, and I just saw him weaving and bobbing up there. I lost it. I was cracking up.
John Travolta over here.
Right. You know, Fred was very
Wouldn't
much
have been
in
funny
rhythm.
If I would have.
Fred was very much in rhythm the whole time.
No,
as he was inventing arguments in his head.
Just an insanely enjoyable weekend.
And for you, the believer who, you know, this defense is as good or could be the greatest Patriots defense since Belichick got here, that was a great performance.
It was.
Dominant.
I mean, you see the inactive and you see Hightower out and you're like, uh-oh.
I was worried.
I was a little concerned with Hightower out, but that was a great,
I was
great
100 yards for Gates, you know, something like that. But they just spirited defense. You know, and after that first drive, the first score by San Diego, you're like, uh-oh. But they just clamped down.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. 7 points on the defense.
Speaking of clamping down, did Keenan Allen play? Poor guy. That's a 70-catch receiver.
I mean, you know,
poor guy could shut the bleep down.
Not only did the Patriots win the time possession, but the field position that the Chargers had throughout was just terrible. You know, special teams covered every punt, every kick, you know, really well. You just didn't – I didn't feel that concerned. I just felt like eventually the offense will do something to, you know,
correct,
seal this game. And, you know, when Edelman scored that touchdown, I think everyone said, all right, that's it.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, because the offense was not
right.
Very the offense
good.
Was not good.
The offense wasn't good. Brady was off, I thought. I thought the line wasn't having its best game.
Well, Nate Solder has now 2 weeks in a row – the corner, he just gives it up, and this was even worse. I mean, I don't know if you were watching some of the replays of, you know, Melvin Ingram or Dwight Freeney would do a spin move, so Solder would spin. Half the time, he was facing Brady and trying to block guys with his ass. It was awful.
As my brother said yesterday, you know, there were grass stains between the sevens on his back, and that can't be a good thing for a left
He
time.
Was horrific. He couldn't block in the run. He got blown up on running plays, couldn't block in the pass, whether it was Ingram, whether it was Freeney. That's our franchise left tackle. See, how come he's getting tossed around?
In retrospect, the way you said, like, I wasn't concerned. Yeah, the way the game unfolded, because I thought, and I said to Andy at halftime, they're losing 14-13, and I feel like they're up by two scores.
Yeah.
Because they were so controlling the way the game was played. But I didn't feel the game was over because I've seen this act from the defense before where they play really well and they keep the score down, but then when they need to stop, they can't get it. Well, this game broke the mold. This game was back to 0-4, where you just get us a lead. You just get us a lead, and that'll be it.
Right.
So they kick a field goal to make it 16-14. It was over.
Yeah.
That was it. San Diego was not scoring. If it stayed 16-14, San Diego wasn't scoring.
Yep.
They just weren't. And the way they played that game, to me, answers the question that I know that no one cares what I think, but
nope.
What happens when the offense
doesn't
bring its A game?
Right.
And I'm not talking about how many points they scored. They not only didn't score points, they gave points to the other team. And they were able to win the game. The defense won the game. And you can't overstate the importance of the block punt, because not only it gave you points, it finally gave you a touchdown, but you talked about the field position. That was a direct result of the block punt. The first three punts that the kicker had, you took over at the 39, the 44, and the 48.
Right.
You didn't get any points out of that.
Right.
You went three and out all three times.
Yep.
But it didn't matter because San Diego was taking over inside the 20 consistently because the Patriots were punting from midfield all day.
Yep.
And that's how you controlled the game. You won the game in the old Bill Parcells hidden yards way.
Yep.
Because you kept making the other team have to go 90 yards while you were only having to go 40 yards.
Yep.
And eventually you went 40 yards and kicked the field goal and won.
Yep. So I think I can't. I agree with everything you just said, Paul. You know,
I couldn't be more impressed with the defense. They were just really, really good in that game.
Boy, and that's this is going to be.
And that's a pretty good offense. And I know you guys might want to say San Diego doesn't have a good offense, but I'm here to tell you right now. Philip Rivers is a good quarterback.
Right. He is. And your struggles the week before on third down, and we talked about they were the number three third down offense, and you gave up one third down conversion in the second half. And, you know, the Patriots weren't moving it on third down either, so you had that whole third quarter of
That's what I didn't think they could do. They went three and out four times in a row, I think we counted.
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots. I didn't think the defense could go blow for blow. You know, here we go. We're going to go stand in the middle of the ring. Three and out for them, we're going to make you go three and out. Three and out for them, we'll make you go three. I didn't think they could do that.
Yep.
And they did it really impressively.
Both defenses went up in my book, my old eyeball test, because I saw on paper that San Diego was supposedly a pretty good defense, but I didn't buy it. Well, I got to give them credit. They played a really good game defensively, and obviously the Patriots.
And I'll tell you, if Verrett is as good as they said he was in the first half of the season before he got hurt, that's a defense to keep an eye on because they have some young guys out there, too, that are pretty impressive.
From the San Diego standpoint, what most impressed, you know, me about what they did is, you know, Blunt ran all over them in that first drive. I mean, literally just had his way with them, and then they just clamped down. And it's not like the Patriots got away from the run. You know, they ran the ball 22 times between, you know, 20 for Blunt and 22 and 2 for my guy. So it's not like
28 carries altogether. They absolutely didn't
they
get
did
away
not
from
abandon
the run.
The run, but San Diego, whatever they did, And I said during the blog, I said, I got to look at the all 22 in the game rewind for this one to see what they were doing.
You didn't really write that, did
you? Yeah, I did. Did
you put it like a smiley face emoticon? Because you're not going to go back and look.
What were they doing to stop the run that they didn't do on that first drive? Because it looked like, oh, here we go, Indianapolis Colts all over again. But they clamped right down, and they were able to, you know, defend the pass at the same time. That's rare. Mm-hmm. For any team, really.
Yeah, they got pressure with four. They didn't blitz a lot. They got pressure. They stopped the run. And even some of the completions they allowed, they were pretty competitive on. There was some high degree of difficulty throws right. and catches they were forced to make because their coverage was so good. They made one mistake. They missed a bad tackle on Edelman. Again, I think that was a result of we held them as long as we could. Now we're losing. The game's over. And I think they sort of had a brain fart. It was a one-play drive, right?
But that was a nice play action, too, on that play.
But even then, it was a 10-yard catch, and the kid missed the tackle, and
he was gone.
Missed
tackle.
Yeah. Again, we go back to the inactive. You see Hightower out, and everyone said, Jimmy Collins better have a good game. And he sure did.
He was terrific. And I was worried because I thought the mental might take away his athleticism and – because he's been here a year and a half. He's been a starter for a year. He comes from a lower level football. I just thought the spot might be like, wow, right. I got to run this defense in night in San Diego, and didn't seem to faze him one bit. The defense was great. He was great. He made plays. The A gap pressures that everybody has problems with gave the Chargers problems. And give him credit. And I saw Paul's guy Bedard. Saying that Ayers actually may have had a better game than Collins, that Ayers was awesome as he watches the All 22.
That's typical Bedard right there. You thought Collins played great, Ayers was better.
Well, it's funny. I was listening.
That's prototypical Bedard right there.
Last night I was listening to
no one could question him.
Listening to NFL on Sirius last night, and they had obviously callers from all over the country. Somebody from Tennessee called in, and it was Jim Miller was the host.
Oh, yeah.
And he
old
said,
friend.
You know, I got to ask you, what are you guys saying about, trading away Akeem Ayers? You know, and the caller was like, I know, I can't believe it. I don't know what we were doing. And I was like, that's right.
Yeah, but the one thing is, it's not like he stunk there. He just didn't play.
He didn't play. They benched him, basically.
It sounds like he and Wisenhunt.
Yeah, they didn't. He didn't want to do what Wisenhunt was.
He didn't like blonde mohawk, something.
I don't know.
Or faux hawk, whatever that's called.
So I think the only negative about the game was that Grady only had two carries, but that's about it.
Well, I would say the negative about the game is your offense stagnant a little bit.
Red zone offense.
It wasn't just red zone. You went 4-0 four times in a row. I mean, 3-0 four times.
But you had three field goals.
No, but you won a quarter basically without a first down.
Yeah,
that's not good.
I'm giving
Ravens.
San Diego some credit.
I give them credit too, but again. Remember a month ago when I said, okay, I'm where I say they roll out of bed and they move the ball and they score points. Well, 2 weeks in a row, they couldn't roll out of bed, move the ball, and score points.
Against two very average defenses.
Right. But I was more impressed with San Diego. The front, I thought, for the Packers was really good. I thought they got after it and got in Brady's head, pressured him. I thought the overall defensive effort of Weddle and Flowers and the whole San Diego front to back, I thought, was better than what the Packers
thought Weddle
did.
And I don't love Weddle. Yeah. I thought he was really good in this game. I thought he really made Gronk work. Now, Gronk is great, so he's going to catch his passes. I know he ended up with almost 100 yards, I think.
Right.
So that you're going to give up, but I thought he was There was a lot of those third downs that Brady was looking at Gronk, and Weddle was
Revis-like. He was running a lot of routes where he was anticipating the route, and now it's different. It's a safety and a tight end. It's happening a little slower, but he was sort of anticipating what Gronk was doing and just being in the way.
But you notice late in the game, the Patriots kind of took advantage of that matchup because they moved Gronk out wide to get Weddle out of the middle, and that opened up a little bit for Edelman, in some of those over-the-middle passes. So you by putting Gronk out wide, you took Weddle out there too.
But I mean, that's an admirable job that I think, and he's a Pro Bowler. He's great, but he's also undersized. He's not a big dude. His beard's bigger than he is, and I give him credit for that. But I thought that defensive effort from San Diego, that was a playoff game.
Yeah.
It's what we talked about.
Yeah.
You're going to score 30 points to beat the Patriots. No, in the playoffs, good playoff football is played in the 20s.
And that's why I think San Diego has the second best December record behind the Patriots, is because they come to play in December. They're always fighting for that playoff spot. And
so if you tell me, you know how we talked about last week, you know, who are you afraid of? Who do you not want to see? Those questions that start to pop up this time of year. I would put San Diego in that category now. You know Rivers is not going to wilt. The guy has played here, has played tough here, has played on an ACL. Now, he's lost a lot to the Patriots, which is, you know, from a San Diego perspective, we need to get over the hump. I don't want to play competitive with the Patriots. I want to beat them. But from a Patriots perspective, that's a team I'd rather not see if I don't have to.
And one of the things that we talked about a little bit last week but maybe didn't give enough thought to was just how bad their offensive line is in terms of, I mean, going to their, what, fourth or fifth center.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge part of the game. You mentioned the A-gap blitzes. One of them, the kid, Watt, he didn't even...
He didn't know Watt to do.
He didn't even block it. He was talking about, you know, and Rivers was really upset with him. He was, you know, they showed him chewing him out. And one of them, he just ran right by him. There was another one that he was chewing him out. It was almost like Watt said, what do you want me to do? I got beat. I was there. He beat me.
There was a reason. I'm your fourth option.
Right. I mean, there's a reason I've never played center before, and I'm fifth string. Oh, sorry.
Right.
So I think we didn't give – because I thought that was a big part of the game. I think the secondary has played really well again. Revis, Andy talked about with Keenan Allen. But I think that the pass rush was pretty good in this game, even though they sacked him four times.
They weren't blitzing, but they get a little exotic.
They didn't, but
changing where it's coming from.
You're absolutely right, Fred. Yeah. You're right, Fred. You're
which
right.
is what they do. That's about as exotic as they get. They're not going to get crazy and send six or seven guys and balls to the wall, but they can mix it up where they're coming from, which linebacker's coming.
That first sack that Collins had, he came in completely
untouched. He almost came in too soon.
But you're looking at it, and you're like, oh, man, they really dialed it up. And then you watch the replay, and you're like, they barely sent four.
Right.
It was kind of three guys initially, and then one other guy came late off the edge. It was just a straight four-man rush, no blitz.
And that took advantage of that center because he came right up the middle. I don't think the center knew what the hell.
He was looking the other way.
Right.
He was looking the other way. Yep. So they took advantage of a weakness, no question.
Unfortunately, they took advantage of a weakness. It's our $7.5 million left tackle.
WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Let's focus on the defense.
Tons of emails coming in. Phone lines are stacked up. Everyone's excited about this win. You know, with Miami losing, obviously, it's been a foregone conclusion for a while, but that pretty much sealed it.
Well, it's a hat and T-shirt game, Freddie.
You can seal
tie
it.
Tie or a win seals the AFC East for the Patriots.
Correct.
This weekend. But Denver, 24-17 win over the Bills, not a touchdown pass.
Yeah, I wouldn't be deceived by that score. It was 24-3 with about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, but I knew the Bills would put up a fight. I thought they'd win, but they didn't. But I think if I was a Broncos fan, I'd be a little concerned, you know, about my offense.
I thought they blew them out. I don't think the game was competitive.
Okay.
We watched a lot of
I'm
that game.
I'm surprised he's not, you know, doing his a blowout when you run the ball.
Feel bad about the
Revolution. What happens when you run the ball? You don't score points.
Tough loss for the Revs going into overtime.
You don't score
overtime.
As many points. They don't let them throw. I mean, Manning was definitely off. There's no question about – maybe you could be concerned about that.
That's what I mean.
But, I mean, I don't know what Manning's health. I don't know if they're running the ball because they're trying to protect Manning. And if that's the case, then I'd be not concerned. I'd be resigning to the fact that they're done. Yeah. If they're running so much because Manning can't throw, his arm is shot.
Hashtag decline.
They're done. Yeah. I mean, you know, declining with 36 touchdowns, but you know, be that as it may.
Despite
the fact they didn't throw any on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a tough loss for the Revs this weekend.
Yes.
Going into overtime, I thought they hit the crossbar. You know, boy, and that would have won it, I think, at the time. Well, it would have put them up 2-1 at the time.
Yes.
It's too bad. You know, they played the hearts out, but I didn't think that they were such an underdog as people thought going in. You know, I think
it's similar to the Patriots. I think they were all looking at the game that they played against them.
Yeah.
But they lost 5-1. That was
a long time ago.
It's just like if they play Kansas team. If the Patriots play Kansas City tomorrow, do you think they'd get killed?
Right. Right. So that was tough. I really thought they were gonna win this game going in. I really did.
I had no idea. I was
I just heard they were a resounding underdog.
Since they got
it's gonna
this
be
guy.
Close because playoff soccer champion is always close. No one takes chances.
Right.
So a regular season 5-0 can turn into a 1-0 or a 2-0 in the postseason because you don't take the chances.
But I don't think that's why the game was close.
Well, I don't think the Reds took enough chances.
I don't know anything about soccer.
Personally.
I thought it was the only thing I was saying, since they got the Jones guy, right? What's his first name?
Jermaine
Jones. Weren't they something like
9-1? Oh, it's like 11-1-1
okay.
or something like
so,
that.
So, like, to me, that other game doesn't matter. It's just it's very similar
right.
to the Patriots.
Right.
If they were playing Kansas City tomorrow, I wouldn't sit there and say, oh, 41-14 the last time. I don't want to go back to Arrowhead.
Different team. You're right, Paul. All right, let's go to...
I don't know anything about
I have
soccer.
No idea. Everybody just told me the L.A. was a far more talented team.
I'm just going off of paper and just seeing what the what the Revs did with Jones as
sure.
opposed to before.
The only thing I learned, Fred, in my
now you're
going to
tell
two,
me they lost 5-1 with Jones in that
two,
game? I don't know.
Two soccer, they really know how to do benches. Those seats they use for soccer.
Those are pretty cool.
Phenomenal.
Huh? Yeah.
Andy was like beside himself.
Well, because I saw him, I was watching like an EPL game or whatever. At one point I saw him and I was like, well, that's EPL. It's $50 billion. And then I watched the MLS Cup and it's the same seats. They're like,
yeah.
They look tremendous. And it's been a pet peeve of mine for years. I've always thought it asinine that I look at Patrick Ewing sitting on a little folding chair, squished next to like eight other guys, and soccer does it right. They got these big, cushy, stay comfortable type seats.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to talk to Robert or Jonathan about the experience?
No, I didn't.
No. Okay.
Airwolf.
Yeah. I didn't. All right. Let's start taking some phone calls here. We'll get to some emails. Jerry from California, you're first on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Hello, Governor.
Good morning, Fred. You guys asked me to call in and give my comments and views on the first NFL game I'd ever gone.
Right, yes.
I have a list of experience and comments here, and if Fred doesn't cut me off, I'll hopefully make all off.
Okay, and if you don't take too long, I won't cut you off.
I'll do it quick. The first thing is, obviously, Belichick and everybody talked about how great the fan experience was and how many fans there were and everything there. Since that was my first game, you can tell Kraft that if he's willing to pay some of my expenses, I'm willing to go to the rest of them.
You're a lucky charm.
By the way, I live about 300 miles directly north of San Diego, and a friend of mine took the train down. And even on the train, you could see a couple of people with Pat's gear on and everything. And we stayed in the gas lamp quarter, and we didn't make it to the Pats party. But even in all the bars and restaurants downtown, you could just see the New England fans all over the place.
Yep.
It's just a great, great time. As for game day, the tailgating, we made it to the Pats area, met lots of great people there, had a great time. And I'll come back and go over some knowledge I gained that I think Andy would appreciate.
Nice.
But the game itself, we were in the Plaza section, Section 10, Row 8, which is about the 25 or 30-yard line, not too far back. We thought it was a great view of the field. And a friend around me where I was, just about everybody was a Pats fan.
Yeah.
You could see a Chargers fan just now and then. But
it was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the in-game emotion and you know, sharing the game experience with all the people around you, whatever, was really great. However, if you're actually looking to see the game or whatever, you know, a big screen TV with the sideline cameras or whatever certainly gives you a better actual view or whatever, but nothing can compare with the actual experience of being there and being with the other Pats fans.
That's right. The energy.
Yep, yep.
Can't get
the
that
emotion,
at home.
The energy. Right. Yep.
Now, back to the tailgate experience. I told you I was going to skip over. It was, like I said, really great, great time, great people. Now, nobody there had any real beer, but there was lots of Bud Light. Even Bud Light has a lot of vitamin P in it, and eventually you need to get rid of that. And to do that, they have these little parking lot restrooms, you know, the little blue cans or whatever, and sometimes there'll be four of them grouped around a lamppost or whatever. But the one I chose was one kind of off by itself because I thought, well, maybe there'll be a shorter line. Well, it turned out it was not a shorter line or whatever, but I was in no particular hurry anyhow. But I did notice that the pace picked up when men and women started going in together. Now, these were couples, probably husband and wife, or at least a couple that knew each other in the biblical way.
Wow.
That speeded up the line. I very much appreciated. But after about the second couple that did that, somebody asked, how do you do that? And the woman turned around and said, you have to trust your partner. And the guy turned around and said, it's all about precision aiming.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they had some prostitution thing going on in there. Okay.
Now, they were joking, of course, but there were some visual images there that were certainly interesting.
Okay,
I like it.
And by the way, for you guys that don't do your Bible study or whatever, if you'll notice in the Bible, quite often it will say Isaiah knew Rachel, and Rachel begat Abraham.
Right.
The term means too. And maybe Brady can pick up on that. Next time he throws an interception and he's sitting on the field, he can be screaming, Isaiah knew Rachel! Isaiah knew Rachel! So
maybe they won't be as mad at him.
Right.
Now, I'm ending here in a second, but when I called in before, very seriously, you guys, for some reason, thought it was very strange for somebody that was a long-term Pats fan that had never, ever gone to a football game. So I actually think that shows that you guys are a little bit off, and the next time I call in, I'll explain why. But until then, Isaiah knew Rachel the Jets.
Right, there you go. All right, Jerry in California, a little Bible study there.
Nice.
I got no idea what he's talking about.
Andy, you were the one that was all over him.
That's how they used to refer that they did it.
Isaiah knew Rachel?
When you knew someone, that means you had intercourse with them. And begat.
What a begat?
That means you had a kid.
Oh.
From that knowing, you begat this kid.
Abraham.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And we all know we're a little off.
Oh.
I'm not sure we're out of touch. I think it's still rare for somebody to be such a big football fan and to have
used an outhouse before.
That is a little. Jerry's been sheltered in the Bible. He's got his nose in the Bible. And by the way, you can easily use those urinals as a couple because a lot of them today have the seat for the woman and the side urinal.
Right.
So if a man and a woman went in there, it'd be very quick. Right. I thought he was going to say when they started going in couples, the line really slowed down because they were doing it.
That's what I thought. Maybe there was some,
begatting.
Yeah.
But
Drew's in
Connecticut. Can you think of anything more gross, though?
I just wanted to bring up a quick point that you already touched on, and it may sound hypocritical because Brady does the same stuff with his receivers, but what'd you think about Rivers screaming and chewing out his lineman every time he got sacked or hit?
Yeah, I mean, he's always been feisty like that. Yeah. I like Rivers. I
love him. Yeah. I love him.
And it actually, maybe I'm misreading this, it almost looked semi-humorous. Like, he was yelling at the guy, but almost like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? You didn't even touch him.
Not like,
right,
you bleeping suck, you bleeping bleeper. It was almost like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I know you're fourth string, but you got to at least get in the way.
Yeah, I don't mind Rivers. I think he...
I like him.
Yeah, he fights hard.
I don't like how he throws. It bothers me.
But he gets it out there.
He does.
It's a weird motion. Yeah.
Did you see what they did?
He did not
with
play well, though.
The Brady and the Rivers motion, where they made it into like a graphic and then blacked it out so you could just see sort of the arm arc.
I didn't see that.
It was kind of weird.
It's pretty interesting.
It was cool.
To see how
it was interesting. Yeah. His, like, one was a candy cane and one was just like all over. It was weird.
Anything else, Drew?
Yeah. And do you think that now this is just the trend of the offense dating back to Brady kind of starting to play bad, even in Indy? Since Indy, or do you think it's just he's been in a lull and he's going to get out of it?
Yeah, I don't know if he played bad in Indy. I don't think he had to play much in Indy.
Well, he had those bad throws.
Bad picks in Indy.
Yeah.
First half was bad.
Yeah, that throw, the pick against San Diego, I don't know what the hell he was
It was
thinking.
Horrific. That was worse than the Gronkowski one in Indy, in my opinion. Gronkowski, he was under legitimate pressure and I don't think could get it there. He knew where he wanted to go and couldn't.
Right.
This one, he didn't. He knew where he wanted to go and for some reason didn't throw it to where his guy was open.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's interesting, Drew. Something to keep an eye on because I think you could make an argument that the offense, even though it scored a lot of points against Indy and scored a lot of points against Detroit, wasn't as good.
Oh, no.
But I would include those two games.
Yeah. Well, they sputtered out of the gates against
Detroit. Everybody's saying these last two, you mentioned it. You know, you're in your 20s, low 20s against Green Bay, low 20s against San Diego, but they were in the 40s against Indianapolis, and I would agree with Drew. I don't think Brady played really well in that
game. Second half, he was lights out.
He barely threw the ball in the second half.
He threw the
ball 10 times. I think he was 9 for 10 or something
like that
in the second
half. It was 9 of 10 or 10 or like it was very high percentage.
He didn't
percentage,
throw the ball.
Right?
They ran the ball.
Well, because they were running it for 240.
Right. And the other team quit.
Right.
I mean, it was over.
I include the Detroit game, but in the Detroit game, we said, that's supposed to be the best defense in football. Obviously, you're not going to be lights out.
A lot of three and outs in the second half, plus a bad red zone pick in that game, too, if you recall, right? Ahead of Bowe. He threw a pick to ahead of Bowe.
I think, that was a penalty.
Okay. It was. Thanks, Drew. Let's go to Chester in Portland.
Channeling Jerry.
What about the other one he hit ahead of Bowe with and he dropped?
Chester was there. What's going on, Chester?
Hey, Freddie. Long time no see, buddy. How you doing?
Good. You still sleeping this one off?
I'm still chasing the hair off the dog with a little fireball on the side of my bed here, but I got no voice, so I gotta do what I gotta do to get back up and running, back to reality later. But man, Fred, super, so great catching up with you and Eric, man. I can't tell you what a successful outcome Saturday was. What a weekend. I can't say enough. And Andy Paul, man, you guys missed out. I challenged you guys like 6 months ago only to hear you guys on the post-game show lamenting that you didn't do it. So let's take a page.
You misheard me.
Lesson learned. Yeah, man. Well, I guess maybe not you, Paul, but Andy,
right.
It sounded like you were into it with your little tailgate idea in the postgame. But,
yeah, Paul wanted to kill us. Bertrand and I have this idea of going on the road with an RV, and Paul's like giving us the death stare, like, you will shut the bleep up.
I like it. I'll look into it.
I totally picked up on that. I was dying. But I guess the only thing that would have made it totally complete, guys, is to have all you guys there. But fantastic. I got to tell you guys, loving this cover of the paper this morning. So fulfilling as a fan to hear Belichick and see Boston.com and all this media just raving about this outcome because, man, this was a big, big thing that we wanted to show you guys, this Pats Coast, you know, West Coast Nation. This was something we wanted everybody at home to understand, that we're not just centralized in Foxborough. We are a nationwide, international effort as far as a fan base. And,
love it.
You know, we really wanted NBC to know it. And, you know, I think at the end of the day now, America knows. You don't mess with the Pats.
That's right.
America's team. And we're going to travel thick everywhere around the country. I was listening to this show. That's how you do it on the road. All right?
Let's see if they can get him at Gillette.
Preach it.
And
that would be interesting to see if Barry Insignon could organize something to get him here at Gillette.
You know, I think we're just going to see a snowball effect as the years go on with the effort and the coordination of these tailgate events. I can't say enough about Barry Insignon, man. That guy is phenomenal. And for what he did for Fan Nation, and it was a pleasure teaming up with him on Saturday night and running the door and, orchestrating some of that. But I can't say enough to pass Patriots tailgate and Insignon for doing that for Fan Nation. It's certainly a weekend that I will never forget. And Fred, just pass on to Eric. I really appreciate you guys making it, man.
Oh, no problem. But, hey, listen, it's my pleasure. Fantastic. Are you kidding me?
So, yeah, it was unreal. Food and drink. And, crap showing up and all that, But Barry's still tallying the totals, but, we've got thousands of dollars to go into charity thanks to, many of the fans contributing and to the auction and everything else. And, one thing to understand, too, guys, this turnout was largely in part to the reach that we got through your show. Just going through the sea of crowds, people got to know me, and PFW Nation was just thick in attendance. So, just you guys talk about the reach that you have, and there's nothing that any local Boston radio, could have done to compete with that type of, a turnout. So, tremendous. I just wanted to say, too, it was great meeting Jackie UK, Mike Haynes, Sam Bam Cunningham, Steve Neal, Bob Sosi, Zoe, Mike Reese. Just so epic. So with that, fans of Gillette, I hope you're taking notes because we're going to be watching you on Sunday. You guys better show up. We got to get a division.
Right.
My AFC hat.
All right. Thanks, Chester.
See you, Chester.
Losing his voice there.
Mike Reese showed up?
Yeah. Oh, Mike was there.
Love Mike.
Did he dance?
No.
Now, that would be video. Sosi and Reese together.
I brought Mike up on stage when I got up. I brought him up with me. But when Barry was up.
Tell everybody that you invented him.
Barry did a quick change just before Robert Kraft got there and had a warm-up suit over it. And when Robert Kraft came, he took his warm-up suit off and he had the blue shirt with the white collar with the pink tie up on stage with Robert Kraft. It was funny.
That's pretty funny.
It was
great.
I mean, those guys must have been out of their head.
Parties are great. We've been to many of them. In all seriousness, I do regret that we weren't able to go to the party. I don't regret that I didn't have to make the trip.
And like Chester said, so many people there listened to the show. It was unbelievable.
My only challenge to them is, you did it in San Diego. Do it in Minnesota or Cincinnati.
Yeah. I mean, obviously,
it's a nice vacation.
This is a great destination.
I know that Fred thinks I was being sarcastic. Do it here. I've not seen that kind of environment here.
It's because they can't get tickets.
One person, though, said, I've been listening so long, I feel like you're my grandfather. That was kind of...
That one left a bit of a mark,
right.
Huh?
Poor Fred.
Fred, at least I get to be the uncle.
Right.
Did you hear the story of Brandon Bolden from post-game show?
Oh, this was great.
Yeah, I did
Superstar
hear that.
Brandon Bolden, who did had you, the key blocked
You heard
punt.
What happened?
Well, I heard you guys thought it was Browner at
first. Yeah. We didn't. We were... Yeah. Bertrand was
told me the story already, Grandpa.
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Hey, good job over there.
But yeah, we had, and some listeners may not know, we had Brandon Bolden on to talk about, obviously, his big blocked punt, which was a key to the game. But Bertrand, he thought it was Browner and introduced him as Browner. And you got the wrong Bolden. I mean, wrong Brandon.
Trey from Memphis on the line. Hey, Tremphis.
Hey, Tremphis.
Tremphis. That's your new name.
Hey, Hey, guys, how's it going, man?
Good.
Great.
Hey, I said, man, it was a great game on Sunday. One thing that I was glad to see was Devin McCourty. He's involved in coverage, you know what I'm saying, for a change. And I think that played a big factor in taking away some of the extra options for Phillip Rivers. And I think that, you know, I mean, that was a good move, you know, because I've always felt that, you know, we was wasting him just playing in, you know, a deep center field. He's just too talented, you know, to just, you know, roam around at the back end like that. And I feel that Deron Harmon, you know, did a great job. So, and I also, you know, what I'm looking at is, you know, this defense is taking a lot of pressure off of the offense, because, you know, you can kind of tell that Brady, he's excited. And I think the offense is going to be okay. I mean, you know, we've gotten spoiled. You know, it's easy for us as fans to, you know, get spoiled with seeing 40-plus points. And, I mean, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, we don't like to be in dog fights. I mean, but, you know, I just feel that, you know, being in dog fights is good. I mean, what do you guys think about that one?
Oh, yeah, we talked about it postgame. This was a playoff caliber quality type game. Defenses, offensive maybe, struggling a little bit, yeah. Scuffling. You're on the road. They got the grass monkey off their back. I think this was a playoff type win.
It's the kind of win that they haven't had, I don't think, consistently over the last, I want to say maybe 8-10 years. I mean, it's been a while since they've been able to win games against quality opponents when the offense doesn't play well.
Yep,
and they won the game because of the defense and special teams.
All right, thanks, Trey. Let's get to some emails at webradio@patriots.com.
Oh, you read emails? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Big fan here, says Jacob. Glad to have you guys help out displaced Patriots fans. Biggest takeaway from this game is defense can step up when needed. The second half defense in particular. I don't remember how many versus Detroit, but three in Green Bay and zero last week. I don't know what he's talking about.
Points,
I guess. If only the offense could start fast, that's my biggest
code over there.
That's my biggest concern going forward. I think Blunt and Gronk both get into the end zone at least once each next week. And my condolences on Jonas Gray's disappearance, Fred. Keep up the candlelight vigil. He'll be back on to Miami. I think I was two doors down from him in the hotel, but I didn't bother him.
Now you're getting a little creepy.
You didn't bother him, huh?
Yeah.
What were you doing on the same floor as the players?
I don't know.
And did you go wake him up, make sure he was at meetings at 10?
Mary writes in.
Jonas, you got meetings at 10.
Mary says, I just wanted to take a moment to express how amazing the game was this weekend. It was our first game at Qualcomm, and after going to season opener in Miami in September, we couldn't wait for this one. The fan support and your support was out of this world. Thank you, Fred, Eric, Jackie, Zoe, Bob, and everyone else from the Patriots for making this such an unforgettable weekend. Do you know how I can get a copy of this week's Patriots Football Weekly for my husband as a Christmas present?
Buy it.
I would call or email carolhardy@patriots.com. Carol H, two R's, one L, at patriots.com.
CARROLH at patriots.com.
He gives it out like I do in international.
It's exactly what he did.
What, two R's, one L? Carol.
Carol. Oh.
Jesus.
Jeez. She did actually say she was getting
calls
and emails
individual
and
copies.
Things this morning.
Good. She had a ton of requests.
Unfortunately,
on the printer.
You didn't have did you put any photos in there?
Of the fans?
Yeah.
I put one of Belichick waving to the fans.
I didn't know maybe you had a party photo in there, but no.
No.
She put together a special DVD and sent it out with her.
Hey, they had a nice night. I did think it was funny how Bill talked about
parties
the,
to glory.
Kind of like, you know, he's on the sideline talking and you hear a big cheer and you assume that means something bad happened.
Right.
But it was good.
Right.
You know, remember he talked about that too in London games. Sometimes as a coach, you base it on the cheers. You know, something happened behind you and maybe you got a turn. And this was a game where you couldn't base it on the cheers because the cheers meant your defense or your offense was doing something good from your crowd.
Right. Amy writes in, I'm from Arizona, originally from Mass, and attended the awesome game San Diego. She wants a Patriots Football Weekly too.
We are not the circulation manager. We're doing a radio show here.
Yeah.
Wow. Anger issues.
Let me read this email from Barry. I'm not available to call in today, but wanted to get a quick message in. We're still flying high from what, in my biased opinion, might have been one of the best road game turnouts in Patriots history, and quite possibly had an impact in the game, at least negating San Diego's home field advantage. The Bolt Buster Bash was an amazing time, and all of you folks from the Patriots media, such as Mike Reese and Jackie from Patriots Today, former players including three-ring Super Bowl champion Stephen Neal, Hall of Famer Sam Bam Cunningham, and Pro Football Hall of Famer Mike Haynes, oh yeah, and some guy who claimed to own the team showed up too. The tailgate party before the game was incredible and was absolutely shocking to Chargers tailgaters who had never seen anything like it. Just amazing. In the stadium, the number of Patriots fans was crazy, especially in the lower levels right behind the Patriots sideline. It was fascinating to observe crowd reaction after each big play to see which team's fans were louder. The fact that it is even a question is mind-blowing. On behalf of the Patriots tailgate and the many fans who had a terrific time, thank you very, very much for all your support. Well, you're welcome.
And you do a fine job.
It was, it was so much like a Super Bowl, the way it sounded. It was just really cool. Let's see. Lots of emails. Alex from Philly. I don't know why some fans are concerned about the team after this win. I know the offense wasn't great and got bogged down, but the defense was awesome. 2 years ago, this would have been a game that the Patriots lost. This is a game that the Patriots would commonly lose in the playoffs. To me, it was great to see that even when the offense gets bogged down, we have a defense that can not only hold their own, but possibly win a game for you. This was a great win. I think that's what Paul was saying early, right?
Yes.
Pretty much?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you told people, no matter what they think, this was a big win.
Well, there are some people who are...
They can keep trying to tell you that San Diego doesn't have any offense, but I'm not buying it.
That's right. Michelle, who loves it when I call it Shalata. I'm not nearly as concerned about the offense as I'm about super encouraged about the defense. In trying to be somewhat complimentary to Solder without trashing Matt Light, I remember Light used to play lights out against better opponents and so-so against lesser ones. I've seen a little bit of the same from Solder, just trying to find the bright spot. On the other hand, he might have had a future on Dancing with the Stars the way he was spinning around on Sunday.
Yeah, he needs to. I didn't watch last night. Was he like a come on man or anything? Because it was borderline embarrassing.
I didn't watch it, but I kind of think the opposite. I think that I agree with the Light analogy in that.
Light had problems with Jason Taylor and those guys.
There was individual guys that bothered him, but in general, when he had to have it, like Dwight Freeney and whatever, in big spots, he came through. Yeah. You don't remember him getting torched in a playoff game.
No.
Or in a big spot.
Whereas but I also remember him needing help at times with Freeney.
Sure. Well, yeah.
I mean, that's why these guys are so
with
good.
With Solder, I think that
Dwight Freeney was good 15 years ago.
When he's played guys that are pretty good, good edge rushers, he's struggled. I mean, like Von Miller in Doomerville against Denver, even this year, like Justin Tuck and Khalil Mack, you know, torched him.
You're thinking he hasn't had a good year.
Just because you don't know who Melvin Ingram is doesn't mean he's not a good passer. He's a good player. As you know, like Andy likes to say, as I told you when he was coming out of the draft, Fred.
Love how the experts, not you guys, well, maybe Eric.
Yes, that was an eye roll from Andy because he's the only one that can take credit for, you know, developing talent.
Right. I don't know, the last two shows you've done with me, you've taken credit for something.
It was the same thing, Melvin Ingram.
Was it? I knew yes. I remember you saying similar.
Love how the experts, not you guys, maybe Eric, all had us going 2-4 during the stretch. Suck it, we're 5-1, so who's the pussy now? Sniff away, Fred, sniff away. I thought
if you could somehow get to 4-1 in that 5-game stretch, that you'd really be doing something special. And here they are at 4-1. I was looking at 3-2. I thought they'd probably go 3-2, and they exceeded my expectations. So I guess I'm guilty in that crew. Although, you know, I didn't pick them to go 0-5, like John Dennis and Eric Scalavino.
Johnny in L.A., why in the world did Josh continue to have Blunt run left? He was getting walloped every time. I've never seen so many second and 12s in my life. A, Blunt has zero initial burst. Gray has some burst and should be used more often. C, why not run to the right? D, Nate Solder is not a starting caliber left tackle, period, end of story.
Something that Andy and I brought up during the game, because I thought Solder was so bad that you needed to stop running behind him, not just giving him help in the passing game. Pro Football Focus, take them with a grain of salt.
Rolled my eyes again.
10 of Blunt's 20 rushes were outside of the left tackle. So not only you ran left, you're running outside the left tackle.
I thought that's probably a game plan thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at some point, adjust your game plan.
It's certainly not right. I mean, Sebastian Vollmer is a run-blocking right tackle. He's one of the strongest guys, not only on the team, but probably in all of football. You could run that way. I think the game plan was probably to run left based on a matchup or whatever.
I just think that good coaches, you know, stop banging their head against the wall. Oh. That was surprising to me that they didn't adjust how they ran the ball.
Tom, in Baltimore.
Is that any different than, you know, okay, our game plan is to throw the ball to Brandon LaFell, but it's not happening tonight, so we got to work Gronkowski and Edelman?
Tom in Baltimore says, I have a question that will, what will the defense look personnel and scheme-wise with both Chandler Jones and Hightower back? In addition, I nominated Chester in Oregon to be the official leader of Patriots Nation that gets me fired up during the pregame show.
Woo!
I think it'll look like it's looked, but with Chandler Jones at right defensive end. And I mean, they're going to be a 4-3. I think the 3-4 idiocy of early in the season is pretty much petered out, thankfully.
Well, right. I think Moore is kind of wondering, like, what's Ayers' role once Hightower gets back and Jones gets back?
I think he'll be one of the outside linebackers. I think it'll be Collins and Ayers on the outside, Hightower in the middle with a four-man front in front of him. Now, they'll be in subs, and I don't know how sub situations will go, but I think that'll be your basic seven-man front, although, as we've seen over the last month or so, they've basically been a six-man front with a lot of sub packages.
Right. They've been generally playing five defensive backs at all times or more. Now, I'm just looking at the game book. The starting lineup had Ninkovich, Wilfork, Chris Jones as down linemen with Collins, Ayers, and Casillas as linebackers with five defensive backs.
Well, first of all, Casillas you can remove once health comes back.
Absolutely, and I think that if you had to, if you want to continue with that alignment, that you have basically, if you add Chandler Jones, and you want to have a traditional four-man front with only two linebackers because you still want those, then Ayers would come out too. You know, it will be Collins and Hightower.
But you'll be better. You'll have a little more versatility.
Better. You'll have more talent.
I mean, you basically have five guys potentially in your starting lineup who could be linebackers. Remember early in the year, there was a lot of Jones linebacker. Ninkovich has linebacker-like skills. You know, he can cover Cobb out of the backfield. And you have more versatility up front athletically.
You know what Ayers has done for him a little bit is, do you remember?
Dominated, according to Bedard.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was the best player on the field the other night, you know, except for the guy who, I don't know.
I mean, that's
had
why
like
Bedard.
10 tackles, 2 sacks.
That's
uh-oh.
Why Bedard uh-oh. Makes the big
check.
Bucks. You can see it at
that's
a certain
true.
Level.
That's
he's
why
a deeper dive kind of guy.
That analysis was five times better than anything I could provide, which is absolutely factual.
You see
you
things
got it,
on
Andy,
the surface, and he goes deeper.
I think with Ayers, what I was trying to get at before your snark took over. Do you remember in the offseason when they were in free agency, Wesley Woodyard was a guy that they were interested in getting, linebacker from Denver? I think Ayers has sort of filled that kind of a role. Not great at any one thing, but able to do a lot of different things. You saw him make a play in coverage this week. I don't think that's his strength. I don't think he's a good cover linebacker, but he dropped. He's athletic, and he was able to get in the zone and make a play. Huge play in the game. We've seen him at times provide a little pass rush. You know, he's got a couple of sacks here and there. So I think they look at him as one of those athletic, mobile, versatile linebackers that they can use in sub, and he's filled a role for them.
Leo writes in, first time to PFW. You guys do a great job. It's a good win for the Patriots over a good Chargers team. However, a little concern about the offensive line, especially Solder, the pass rush and offensive line problems doomed the Patriots in past playoff games, and seeing a little shaky offensive line play has me a little disconcerted. Another thing I want to touch on is the opinion of the AFC East by Paul on the Xbox One postgame show following the win over the Chargers. He made it out like the Patriots have it easy in the AFC East and having the time to figure things out at the start of the season in a division with middling teams. I have to say that it's completely wrong. I read an article a while back which did an analysis of division strength over the last 12 years. It concluded that over the last 12 years, the AFC East has been one of the two toughest divisions in football without the Patriots. With them, it's downright unfair. I can post some numbers, but don't think it would have the time to go through them. I mean, I understand some random haters throwing this baseless opinion out there, but to see someone from PFW say that just makes me sick. Finally, if you did take the time to read my email, thank you and keep up the good work.
Well,
thank you, Leo.
Usually, Fred, you know, when he's not, you know, in just infatuated with the phone calls. He takes time to read the emails. We read all the emails.
Try. Well, we read some.
Well, we try. Just, we try.
There's no way I can read them all.
My question would be, what other division has a team in it that has not made the playoffs since 1999?
Well, that's because the Patriots always make it.
What other division in football has a team? One of their four members has not made the playoffs since 1999.
Since that, I don't know.
None. There isn't.
But that doesn't prove anything.
That's an SID fact. First of all, let me say this.
It really is.
I want someone to explain to me why the following makes me a hater. I think Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets are not good teams. Why does that make me a hater?
They're very competitive.
I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you to agree with my opinion on those three teams. Why does that mean that I don't think the Patriots are great?
Because in a lot of people's viewpoint,
here's another argument, Andy, that he's having with himself.
We'll get a ton of emails after I say this. In a lot of people's viewpoint, when people say things like that, it's to diminish
then
the Patriots' success.
Stop being so damn sensitive. Well, those teams are not good.
But why
teams.
Say that?
It does not, because they're not good, Fred.
You're trying to diminish the Patriots' success.
Why am I trying to do that? Do the Patriots not hold their own when they go outside the division?
Do the
Patriots not go deep into the playoffs every year?
Look, the Patriots.
If you think that means the Patriots aren't good, that's your fault. That's your inferiority.
And the Patriots aren't worried about it, but it's just, you know, people get a little annoyed.
No, I'm talking about the fans, not the team itself. Obviously, the team takes advantage
but
of it.
They do use September
to get their ducks in a row and figure out what they want to do.
Fans get a little annoyed when they hear people who
I don't know why. They do get annoyed at
people who have a forum. Like to do things like that.
What I don't understand is why the facts that the other three teams in the division are not capable of competing with you. Why that bothers you?
I think because
that's a good thing.
Before this
you're
century,
you're that much better than the other three teams in your division. That's a good thing.
Before this century, obviously the Patriots had a terrible team. They were the doormat of the league, laughingstock for so long. They finally now become the dominant team, and it's with an oh but. And they say,
who is saying,
why can't you just give us our dominance?
You can make it.
Why does it have to be a but?
You can make it out. You can make it out to be that if that's the way you want to take
it. Why
say
that?
Because it's a fact.
Well, it's
that's
not
why.
Really, but this it guy's re- saying
but it
that
really
it's not
is.
A fact.
It really is a fact. The other three teams are not very good. Consistently over the last 15 years, they've had one.
If you were beaten down by the Patriots year after year,
they play other games, Fred. They have other chances to make the playoffs, and they don't.
Year after year.
They've had fewer teams in the division make the playoffs than the other divisions have had. I'm sorry. If this bothers I don't mean this as a shot, and I know that you guys don't believe me. I know you think I'm trolling. I'm not trolling. I'm telling you the Patriots are that much better than the other three teams. The other three teams, Miami, Andy, I was going to say something bad. Andy slapped me around in an argument this week. Talking about how bad Miami is, right? And I defended Miami. And what did they go out and do? They pissed themselves at home in a game that they had absolute total control of.
All right.
They didn't allow a first down in that game for like 17 minutes.
Just to settle this once and for all so everyone knows.
They're just not good. They don't have good coaches. They don't have good quarterbacks.
Fine, but just to settle this.
Or owners.
Once and for all. So everyone knows where you stand. Do you think that the other teams in the AFC East have had anything to do with the Patriots' success over the last century? In this century?
Do I think that's why the Patriots are good?
I have to answer that honestly
and say yes. I think it's had something to do with their success.
We'll see.
But do I think it has anything to do with why they're great? No. The Patriots would be great even if Miami was consistently great with them.
Right. Winning those Super Bowls, they didn't beat
anything to do with them winning
exactly.
Super Bowls.
They didn't beat the
That's why I don't understand why you guys get so upset about it.
That's why I don't understand why people keep bringing it up.
Does it make it easier for them? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. Yes. Well, I think it does.
I mean,
That's the only thing we disagree on.
They didn't have to beat Buffalo in the AFC Championship
or
Miami.
You automatically win your division every year because you have no competition
in it.
But
they still had to beat the other best team in the conference.
No, you don't. You win the division by default. That's an enormous advantage.
I know, but
and it helps you get a bye.
It helps you get a bye.
Number one seed.
Yeah,
it helps you play home games in the playoffs, which makes it easier to advance. So to sit there and say it doesn't play a role? Yeah. I think is foolish.
So there's a yeah, but.
I don't think it's a yeah, but, because I think the Patriots are great. I think they would still be winning the division even if the other teams
were
good.
Then why keep saying, but they're in a bad division?
Because it's a fact.
So then you think it has a role.
I said yes. You asked me the question.
So there's a yeah, but.
But it doesn't mean that's why I think they're good.
Okay.
It's not a yeah, but. It's only because you guys can't. The problem with Patriots fans is they can't just be good. They have to be the greatest of all time. And that's the inferiority complex. Is Brady better than, yeah, Brady's better than Manning. Yeah, who are you kidding me?
It might be why they're so sensitive. It might be because they have an inferiority.
Why not just enjoy the fact that you have a great team every year and you have a chance to go to the playoffs and win the Super Bowl every year?
And
why do you have to always look at it as, is this the greatest team that's ever played?
Why does everyone always have to piss on our parade?
I don't understand why that's pissing on it. Pointing out the fact that Buffalo has never made the playoffs in the Bill Belichick era.
But they're very competitive.
That's not pissing on anyone's parade.
They're very competitive. When they lost 21 in a row to you or whatever the hell it was.
Because we're good.
And they're bad.
Yeah.
Both of those things are true, Fred. You're good and they're bad. And they're both going to finish under 500 again.
Lyndon from Colton, California has sent us a video of Bob Soucy dancing.
Oh,
so we'll have to
do that's something. Just tremendous.
Now, are we going to tweet it?
And I'll read the email just because they were nice enough to send us the video. I felt bad for Soucy. It seemed like Zolak called him up onto stage just to leave him there by himself. He looked so uncomfortable.
Yeah, that is Bob.
I might have some better video on my other camera. I'll send it in if I do. So I haven't seen this one, but thank you. A couple questions. One, the Chargers were substituting large groups of players. At times, it seems like half the D was being swapped in and out. Do you think it would have been advantageous for the Patriots to use more no huddle, particularly during the third quarter? I'm surprised that the Chargers' bench is so deep that they can swap out so many players and still be effective.
That's what they do. I mean, that's their MO. Yeah. And we talked about it coming in. This might be an opportunity to use some hurry up, but it's that double-edged sword.
Not when playing like that.
When you can't stay on the field and you go hurry up, you put your defense in, a dominant defense that's playing well, in a position where now you're setting them up to fail, maybe back out there even quicker.
Yeah, I think that when you go three and out a lot, it's hard to get any kind of rhythm going.
On the Browner hit that negated the interception in return for touchdown, do you think the penalty flag gets thrown if anyone other than Browner makes the hit? Yes.
Yes.
We talked about that. I really think you have to throw the flag there.
I do too.
But I believe you have to review those.
I think live, you know? Most people, like I thought live it was a penalty. And then I saw it and I said, that's really not
right.
a penalty.
Right. So you got to review. Let the play out and then review it afterwards.
And we'll go in that direction. I mean, Bill brought it up this year for have everything reviewed. I think there will continue to be a debate. I don't think everything can be reviewed. I don't want holdings reviewed.
No.
But that's, as I said to Paul, that's essentially a double turnover. The Patriots got a turnover and it kind of got turned over back the other way to the Chargers. Those are the kinds of game-changing plays that they started replay for. I think at some point you're going to find a way for those to be reviewed.
Yeah, and I think to the Patriots' credit, that could have been a game-changer right there,
mm-hmm.
where you scored a touchdown and, like you said, it goes back to the other team plus 15 yards.
Huge penalty after that
and
on San Diego.
Nothing changed in terms
the
of the
thing.
Defense.
The offensive pass interference 2 plays later on Malcolm Floyd was a huge play in that game.
Yeah.
Set up the long yardage situation. The next play, Ayers' pick.
Right.
Turned the whole game around.
Let's go back to the phones for a bit. Miguel's in Oregon. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
Second time caller. Great show, you guys.
Thank you.
So I'm looking at the game on Sunday night, and you just have to say, I mean, at some point, like, how many times is the defense going to give us the ball? Is it with the offense? And I mean, the offense really, really struggle. And I mean, does it worry you guys when it comes to Denver and stuff like that, when you know the defense is probably going to struggle a little more and the offense has to push in more? It just seems like we were running the ball in the first quarter and we were doing pretty good. And when we get to the red zone, we started like throwing it, and instead of running it on second down, and then obviously if you throw it on second down, you have to throw it again on third down because it was incomplete. So you can't really run on third down.
Yeah,
it just seems like the play calling was a little off when it comes to the red zone.
Just those two plays, to me. I totally agree with you, Miguel. And Andy and I talked about it on the post game show. It was first and goal from the 10. They ran blunt for 9, and I would have just run it twice. I disagree with Miguel on one thing. Okay, you want to take a shot on play action, see if you get one of those easy Brady touchdown passes where a guy pops wide open. okay, it's incomplete. They read it. The defensive lineman knocked the pass down. I don't see why you can't run on third and goal from the one.
Right.
Why not?
Why
yeah,
not?
You can. Yeah. It's not like the four. Yeah. It's the one.
Thanks, Miguel. Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, just wanted to weigh in on the AFC East thing. I agree with Paul that they kind of suck, and it helps us at times get further knowing that we don't have to worry about someone else taking our seeding out of that division. But when I look at these teams, I don't think they're untalented. I just think that the coaching staff and the front offices are really bad. Like,
and the quarterback and the quarterbacks are really bad.
I have ever seen, and the quarterbacks suck.
Well,
quarterback.
I mean, those two things you just said, though, kind of contradict themselves.
Right.
It's not that they're untalented, but the GM sucks. Well, if the GM sucks, then they're untalented.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're talented, then the GM doesn't suck.
I think Miami has some talent. I think that they should be better. I don't think the coach is great. I don't think the quarterback is great.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters in that league.
The talent, when you say teams are talented or not talented, 90% of the time the proof is going to be in the quarterback.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to look better when you have a good quarterback. Everybody's going to look worse.
I think if Belichick was the coach of Miami, I think that Tannehill would look better.
Well, even the Bills, if they had a good quarterback.
But they don't.
But that would make all the difference.
Do you know who the best quarterback they've had in this whole run is? My boy. Drew. This whole run, the only guy that had any modicum of success was Drew.
Yeah.
And he was done when he went there. He wasn't good.
Thanks, Justin. Let's go to Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Good afternoon, boys.
Okay.
What's up?
Hey, that was a big one, fellas. That was a BFW. That was a big win.
Yeah, I hear you.
And you know, I to settle this argument with Paul and Andy and or Paul and Brett, I guess mostly. I know this must make you nervous, Paul, but I completely agree with you.
We can end it here. I honestly don't mean it to say that the Patriots aren't good. I think you'd be foolish to say the Patriots aren't great. I just think it helps to have a bad division. That's all.
I agree with your reasoning. I agree with you totally. I mean, I'm glad the other teams suck.
Right.
I mean, you know, that may sound like a kind of a wimpy way to be, but I don't want them to be any good. I want them to suck, and they do.
But in the Colts' reign, didn't
terrible division
but
at times.
But I think that when you have a team that's so dominant, it affects the other teams, and they start.
No, but see, when the Colts were really good in the middle of the decade, Jacksonville was pretty good. Earlier than that, Tennessee was the number one seed in the AFC one year.
Well, I recall in 08, you know, it was Miami that knocked the Patriots out of the playoffs.
Brady didn't play, Fred.
I know, but I'm still saying they won 11 games that year, Miami.
Right, one of them against a depleted Patriots team.
But so what? They won 11 games.
So take one away there, and they don't win the division.
Anyways, listen. I'm they're not very good. It seems like they're always rebuilding. I think the Dolphins are probably this year are probably just a little bit better than the other two. They lost some close games. They lost that buzzer beater with the Packers, and you know, they could still be a threat this week. We had to basically, we're having a short week, I guess, flying back from the West Coast on a Sunday night is almost like having a Monday night game, I guess.
Wow.
And so that could be a short week for us, but I think we're still going to beat them. I think we're going to win the last three here.
As my buddy No Sox likes to say, I think they will larrup the Dolphins this week because the Dolphins had their last chance saloon last week, and they're going to come in feeling all sorry for themselves. Evidently, they're all yelling at Philbin. Audric was screaming at Philbin on the sideline. Spiral out of control because why? That's what bad teams do.
Thanks, Big Al.
Maybe they'll surprise me and they'll come in here and play a
John's in Montana.
Game.
Hey,
hang
John.
On, hang on one sec. Oh, just a quick
hold on, John. Update. Hold on one second.
Put him on hold.
Hold on. Hold on, so John.
No, I just wanted a quick update. Yeah. Cam Newton was in a rollover accident.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
And was put in a stretcher. His truck was upside down. Looks like a relatively serious car accident.
Oh, boy.
So he was put on a stretcher and in today's day and age, you have a Vine video of him being loaded into an ambulance, and his truck was upside down. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Star quarterback in a wreck.
That's crazy.
They were hot, too.
Yeah.
They won a game.
All right, John. You're back. John in Montana.
Okay, thanks, guys. And, yeah, let's say a prayer for Cam.
Yep.
Hey, the little kids just talked about that Brandon Browner hit and then the penalty, and we were talking about it. Yesterday, my family and I, we'd all watch the game. Great win by the Patriots, but I Googled yesterday, and I could not find one story, one commentator, any kind of a video thing that anybody said that they thought it was a good call. Every single person that I looked at, you know, every network, it was like it shouldn't have been called.
Right, you're right.
Helmet hit.
But I see. Here's I agree
with
you.
I don't think he got called for helmet to helmet contact.
It wasn't.
Well, that's what they call
it. Wasn't a penalty.
Unnecessary roughness.
But helmet. If you were the ref in that moment, John, if you were the ref in that moment, you kind of have to throw the flag. That's why they need to review these plays.
That's how I feel.
Because they happen so fast.
Very, very tough. And yeah. I can't remember in one of the stories, there was a referee that they consulted, and he was saying that's why they need to have those calls reviewable.
Yeah. Everyone's saying that. I was going to do it for my Around the NFL today, but it seems like everyone's saying the same thing.
Well, it's obvious. Coming off that Patriots game, that was, because I think it was the perfect example of real speed, you know, athletes, you got to throw it in this era.
Yeah, tall guy making the hit.
And and his head snapped back. It certainly looked like a penalty, but in the end it wasn't, in my opinion.
No.
I will say Tom Curran believes it was a penalty.
Is that right?
Yes, I saw him very aggressively on Twitter. So
I think
Curran.
That is going to get called 10 times out of 10.
He said that his shoulder hits his face mask, so it's neck and
it didn't,
face area.
It did.
I
don't think it did.
I didn't think
it hit
did
underneath
either.
The face mask.
Well, maybe when his head went down.
I am very contradictory on this because I hate the new rules. I hate the way the game is played, and I agree with John. You won't find anybody that says it was a penalty because everybody watching wants to have plays like that be allowed. He did hit him with his shoulder.
Even
he hit him high. It's indisputable that he hit him high.
Yeah, not in the head or neck.
Same thing if it was,
he made contact with his face.
Getting a hit on one of our guys, but it's like,
I hate the rule. I don't think it's a penalty, but that's going to get called 10 times out of 10 in the league.
But on review, do you think they'd overturn it?
I don't think they would overturn
really?
It.
Really?
He wanted to go, so.
Oh, okay. So, see you, John. And he keeps talking. You just told me you wanted
he
to
said,
go.
He said, thanks, guys.
He said, thanks, guys.
I think on review it would get overturned. You don't.
I don't.
Then there's something wrong there. Then they have to rewrite that rule to make it even clearer. You can't even think about going high.
It says in the rules that you can't hit him above the shoulder.
I don't think he did.
I do.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it was short. I think
he
you
made
have
contact
to change it
with his
too.
Face mask. That's above the shoulder.
I don't think he did. Again.
I think just the fact that we're talking about it is probably proof that they wouldn't have overturned.
Right. Well, no, there's no proof there. Let's see. Should I go to emails or calls? Where's lunch, by the way?
I don't
it's
know.
More importantly,
it's your place.
This is your place.
Isaac
takes forever, never gets us good food.
Isaac, and well, the weather might be bad out there. Isaac in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Isaac.
Hey, Doc, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, I don't know if you guys remember. It's been a while since I called in the show, but I was the one that came up with the alternate name for Tom Brady, which was the Tominator.
Tominator, okay.
I don't know if you guys remember that, but
I don't think he's been dominating.
I remember that talk with we were looking trying to find nicknames for Tom Brady,
and he hasn't been dominating lately.
I thought I was onto something, but I guess not. So I guess that was but anyways, I don't want to about the argument you guys were having about the AFC. I agree with Paul 100%. I believe the Patriots are great. We are a great team, but I think the division have I would say a 75% chance of why we're great because. It's like every year it's guaranteed that the Patriots will win the division. So I do believe we benefit by playing the AFC East. The division is sorry. The Dolphins are always sorry. The Jets are always sorry. Buffalo, they start off 2-0. Everybody saying this year they don't do
Bills Mafia.
But, yeah, I agree with Paul 100% on that. We're a great team, but the division got a large part to do with why we're great. And the Brandon Brown here. Watching that live, I thought it was the penalty. I thought it was coming in the helmet, but once you slow it down, you see it wasn't. It shouldn't have been reviewed, but I guess next season we'll be able to review stuff like that. But
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I think it's coming. I don't know if it'll be next year. And I don't think it'll come, like Bill said, with everything. I think they'll do something where it's implemented kind of chunk by chunk.
Well, I think with these plays, it's, you know, like a turnover, it's such a huge play because it's the difference between a defensive guy making a great play or a penalty. And I think it's important enough where you need to review it.
Yeah, that can be a game-changing play.
Yeah.
the Chargers, they could have went and scored a touchdown after they got the ball. They got the ball back plus 15 yards. So
right.
They could have drove down and scored a touchdown.
Right, and like Paul said, there was an offensive P.I. in Malcolm Floyd that followed that really stunted what could have been. Yeah.
Yes. And one more thing before I want to ask you guys.
Is that subject to review too?
Position. No.
With Gerard Mayo, do you think you kind of move on from Gerard Mayo with the way Hassan and Carlos been playing?
I think Gerard Mayo is going to be asked to take a major pay cut because he has a 6 and change salary for next year, 10 and change cap number, coming off 2 major season-ending injuries. I think he's going to be asked to take a major, major shave.
Yeah, I think you know, you go to Gerard and say, look, you know, the time in your career, the emergence of the younger guys, you can still have a role on this team, certainly, but it's not going to be the role you've had.
Yeah, I agree with you guys.
Yeah. All right, God, that's all I have, but keep up the good work.
Thanks, Isaac.
All right, thanks, Isaac. One more call, Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey.
What's up, Melvin?
What's up? I'll make it quick. You know, I know I didn't get a chance to call in last week talking about, I know I can't speak on behalf of all Patriots fans, but the happy reference, I was just happy, me personally, that, you know, that 2-2 team I saw was awful, bloody awful. I've never seen them play like that before, probably in my life. So, and with all that talent on that team, I was happy, me personally, that I couldn't imagine us winning, what, 8 out of 9 games, something like that. I didn't imagine us to have that big a turnaround and to be in this position to be number one, you know, the Super Bowl aspirations I had have really kind of gone down the drain somewhat. I just want to be a competitive team. But this team, I was happy that they made that turnaround and we're in this position that we are really right now. Defensively, you know, Collins, the last call I just talked about it, how he's really come along, man. Like, he looks so stiff. I remember those games, and I DVR'd and watched him. How the transition from him being so slew-footed and just, like, you know, slow to react in that linebacker role, but now look at him going there, flying around, flying, you know, fighting the football. Just the way this team has transitioned from that 2-2 team to this, what, 10-3, I'm very, very happy with how we are because we're a well-balanced team. I like the balance that our teams have. I like our chances going forward. So that's the only thing I'll say. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Thanks, Melvin.
All right.
And we should start calling Melvin Menacy. Menacy. And then we have the other guy from Memphis that we'll call, what do they call him? I don't know. Anyway. All right. We're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to be email driven next segment. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York,
And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium, So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I got my tonsils out, and I had a... Back then, you stayed overnight. But this was planned. I mean, back then, I sucked my thumb, and I had a blanket. And, I did. I stopped that last year, but
we know who the pussy is now.
So you're in this crib at night, and of course, if you need anything, you had a button to get the nurse there. So I realized my blanket was in my suitcase.
He said, "Suck it with his eyes."
So I remember
you're 6 years old.
I remember being this little kid, but so I press the button, and the nurse comes over, and she says, "Well, what do you need?" I said, "In that suitcase, there's a blanket. I need it." And this thing was like tattered because I had literally had it since I'd been born. Where I rubbed it, it was all worn out and everything. So the nurse goes in, she goes, "This thing?" And I remember I said, "Just give it to me."
I don't need your commentary.
I was like 5 or 6. Just give it to me.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
But I remember just saying, just give it to
just
me.
Give it to
shut your hole, lady. All right, back here in PFW in progress. More news coming in about Cam Newton. Obviously it's all on Twitter and everything that the car rolled over 3 times. He was cut off by a BMW. Some people even say he broke 2 legs. I don't even know how they would know that at this point, but it does look very serious. So
now a CMPD source says no injuries to Cam Newton.
Oh, jeez.
Did not want to be transported, taken to hospital as precaution. There's actually a bunch of photos online of him maybe smiling. You know how he always looks
God.
Like he's smiling?
Oh, God. Well, that's
smiling.
Great then.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Still worth monitoring.
Why do people tweet out, I was about to swear. I was about to swear, but why do they do that? Why do they do that? Why do that?
Yeah, I'm seeing more tweets about
good.
Reports
okay, good.
Of no broken.
I'm glad.
No injuries.
I'm glad. He was obviously wearing a seatbelt, so that's a good thing.
I don't know for sure that that's true, but.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I guess if it rolled 3 times, there's probably a good chance if he was not injured. That
good. All right, good. Juve writes in, "Thank you guys for what you do, providing us fans who live far away. Keep up with the team, the PFW shows during the week, and pre- and post-game shows, roster reports, TV shows. Thank you." I'm really a little post-lunch. "I'm really proud of how our defense played against San Diego. I noticed at times that some of their players were giving our players a hand getting up. Very classy of them. After Brady ran for the second first down and got up all fired up, I got up out of my chair and did the same thing. I love it when he gets that way. Makes your blood come alive. Fudge, yeah," he says. "We got screwed on the Browner hit. Maybe it's just my homer side, but sometimes I feel like the NFL, the whole league just hates us." Nope, you're right. It has nothing to do with you. They do hate us. "There's not even one of our players on that stupid Sunday night opening crap that NBC puts on. Screw them. Screw New Yorkers."
Whoa. You don't think a Patriot was invited to that?
Oh, I don't know.
I guarantee you that players were invited to that. Guarantee. So don't pretend.
Is this where they get out of the car thing?
No, they have a whole dance with, what's her name? Hot blonde.
I thought they'd do that, film it when they're here at the.
No. That's filmed in advance. I've seen players tweet, heading to so-and-so to film NBC Sunday.
You just think we don't go?
Yes. I guarantee you Brady, Gronk, a bunch of guys were invited and no one went.
Okay,
Gronk, by the way, apparently cover of the interview issue of ESPN the magazine this week. He just tweeted out.
Let's see.
How do you write?
"Screw New Yorkers. Oh, yeah. How about screw the Packers and that cocky Rodgers discount double check? On to Miami. I hope we fillet them. Payback is a you-know-what. Thanks again to all you guys, even Eric. So,
just so you know, you can say bitch on this show. Fred and Paul say much
yeah,
worse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And while we're at the party.
Not today, but
let's see. I'm trying to find his email. Edwin Corral handed me a wad of money and said, buy lunch. So we'll have lunch on Edwin this week at some point.
That's awesome.
Edwin Corral. Go really nice. You his wad,
Edwin
huh?
from Las Vegas. He says, this weekend was amazing. The Patriots Nation representing big time. It was great to meet you, Fred. Eric, Bob Sosi, Scott Zolak, David Silverman, Stephen Neal, Mike Haynes, Sam Bam Cunningham, and last but not least, Mr. Kraft. By the way, David Silverman's our photographer. A huge shout-out to Barry Insiong for putting everything together. Also a huge shout-out to Nick Chester, AMR, Nathan, John, Mina, M-I-N-A, and the rest of the PFW elites for their volunteer work in helping Barry. Andy and Paul, I wish you all could have made it to San Diego. Qualcomm was super loud, full of Patriots fans. Everything we said we do, we accomplished as far as being loud and getting our Brady chants going. I hope you all enjoyed your lunch today. Well, it's going to be probably Thursday. On behalf of myself and the rest of the PFW elites.
Thank you. I'm glad it was a great time and really nice. Really nice to do that with Fred. Thank you.
Kenneth Poughkeepsie.
Did you get to meet did you get to talk to Stephen Neal at all? What was he up to?
I didn't really talk. I just said thanks. He got up on stage and said some words. I said thank you when he came down. I didn't really get to talk to him.
Okay.
But he's still living out there.
Yeah, no, I figured that.
Yep. Kenneth Poughkeepsie says, I'm looking at the Patriots Pro Shop website, and for $225, you can buy the latest copy of PFW. Not sure if you would still have to pay shipping or not. I know that one person was wondering about getting one for her husband. Right, so just go to the Pro Shop.
And isn't there some free shipping deals going on for the holiday
season? Probably, yeah. So do some other shopping.
Yeah,
you know.
Package it all together.
Absolutely.
Don't pay money to FedEx or the UPS. Get yourself something nice.
More importantly, call 1-800-494-PATS and subscribe if you really want to help us.
Or
it's the holiday season.
Or
go to the iTunes store.
If you have an iPad.
Yes.
And get Patriots football daily.
How is the how are we doing on the Android version? Didn't you promise something like that coming?
Yeah, it's not coming.
Ever?
No, we tried to get our quote-unquote magazine into the Google newsstand, and Google said we're too small. They only deal with the Time Warner and all these big companies.
Screw Google.
They won't let smaller magazines get on there.
Screw them.
Yeah, Condé Nast gets on there. We don't. So
that's stupid.
It is.
I hate Google.
Yep. So that's.
They do have a fine search engine though. And it is pretty cool. You can walk down the street and they have like pictures of your front door from the street view.
Oneek from Connecticut writes in first
time.
That's
a unique name.
Yep. It's actually spelled O A U N I G.
O A U N
I G. He says it's pronounced Oneek.
All right.
Micah won't. He'll be upset.
First time listener and caller. Oh, no, he's a weekly listener, but first time writing. Great game and win for the defense and special teams. Revis was lights out again. Collins and Browner were great as well, even though with that BS penalty called on him. That was a clean hit, and I love the physicality he brings to the team. I forgot he had a similar hit against Wes Welker a couple years ago where he just destroyed him with the ball but didn't kill him like he did Green. If the Pats D continues to play like they did Sunday, we will claim victory at the Super Bowl in February. Robert Kraft and Belichick need to lock up Revis for a long-term deal, and Revis Island needs to stay in Foxborough. Now on to Miami to squish the fish. Thanks for the call, Oneek, the letter. Email. Whatever it is.
Did something happen when you ate lunch?
Mansell may be a midget, but Fred's a mental midget.
I'm thinking of many things right now.
Oh,
what? Okay. What are you thinking about?
Nothing to do with this show.
Sex, apple pie,
how
what?
About the TV show?
Let's see. Bob from Smithfield, Rhode Island, where the Patriots used to hold their training camp. Paul, name one other division other than the AFC North that the Patriots would not have dominated over the last 15 years.
Yeah, see, I think they would have dominated all of them.
You, of all people, are always saying how much all other teams suck. I don't get how you think the AFC is any different from any other division.
I think the teams in the other divisions are better than the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills. I don't think the teams in the other division, however, are better than the Patriots.
So then why mention how bad the league?
Because it gives you an advantage.
But so would all the other divisions.
I don't think Baltimore has the same advantage. I think Baltimore, over the last 10 years, has generally been the
he
best
said,
team.
Other than the AFC North.
I'm just giving you an example.
I know.
I think they've generally been the best team in the North. They don't have the same advantage. If they have a bad month or so, they're behind the eight ball.
No, but it's a good point by the emailer.
I think Denver in the AFC West. If they
What's
have
a good point by
if
the
they have a bad month, they have two other teams
Paul says
that can
all
take
the teams
their...
suck in the league.
Yeah, and give me some yeah, evidence
but
that that's
It doesn't
wrong.
Matter what division they were in. They all suck.
So they're all the same then?
That's what you think.
Did I think San Diego sucked?
No, I'm talking
did
about
I think
overall.
Green Bay, did I think Green Bay sucked?
Overall.
Did I think Indianapolis sucked?
You know?
Did I think Denver sucked?
You
well,
know?
Those are the last four of the last five teams that the Patriots played, right?
Well, over the
so
last...
So those are good teams, right?
In this century.
No, I'm talking about right now, Fred.
This century.
It is. We're talking about this century, right?
If you want to have a conversation about it and criticize me, we can do that. But I'm trying to have a conversation, and you just want to make fun of me.
I understand. You reasonably say that you know the Patriots would be good in any division.
I think they would.
But
do I think they would have won the division?
How bad this one
Wait
is.
A minute.
Do I think
it's
they would win?
Timeout. You are such. You reasonably say that they would dominate any division. Now that's an obvious given, Paul. Thank you for acknowledging.
No, I heard
because I don't
let
actually
it go.
Agree with it. First,
I don't think they would have won the division every year if they were in another division.
If we put them in another division, let's take this hypothetical a step further. Are we removing like the best team from that division? Are they swapping, or are you throwing them into the mix of that division?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think if they were in another division,
because I mean,
I don't think they would have won it every year.
Have had Super Bowl winners that would have given the Patriots problem. Whether it's Baltimore, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Seattle, Green Bay, those teams would have given the Patriots problems more so than the teams in the AFC East, right?
And so would the Patriots give those teams problems,
right? Okay, don't play that stupid argument. Now you're making me mad. I don't even care about this stupid argument. And so would the Patriots give them problems? That's
all,
not the
Andy,
question. No one in the division gives the Patriots problems.
It's always looking at it from other teams' perspective when we talk about the Patriots.
No,
the
it's
haters.
Always looking at
for
it with
haters.
Your head up your Patriots' ass
for
is
for
what
the
it
haters.
Is.
Yeah, well, if you can find,
I recognize greatness.
If you can find the haters, then we can talk about it. I'm not a hater.
Well,
I'm simply pointing out the fact that I think that the division stinks.
He just plays one on the radio.
Well, if that may, I mean, that this is my problem with the whole thing is if you say anything that somehow can be twisted in five different directions to make the Patriots' accomplishments somehow seem less, you're a hater.
But no, but I actually don't agree with your.
I know you don't.
No,
and
your premise of they would dominate every other division.
Oh, I didn't say they would dominate. I didn't say that.
I think every other division
that.
Has had Super Bowl caliber teams.
He asked me if
Patriots
they would have success in other divisions, and I said yes. But I don't think they would have won five division titles in a row if they were in another division.
They would have struggles with New Orleans and Green Bay and Seattle, and you know, there's been a good team in every other division.
Paul, do you think that the Patriots inflate
a good one.
Brady's numbers by forcing red zone passes?
I think that they
Scott in Providence thinks you said that.
I didn't say that they inflate his numbers. I said they like to throw the ball in the red zone with Brady.
Give him cheap touchdowns.
I think I may have called him cheap touchdowns. Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Paul.
You don't think they do that with Manning?
Why, if you have a great quarterback like Manning or Brady, why wouldn't you throw the ball in the red zone?
I'm talking about a specific situation in the red zone.
That's not inflating.
Like second and goal from the one.
Ew, that was gross. Don't touch that.
You go with what
sorry.
It landed on me.
You go with what you think is your best option.
You might want to wash your hands.
Yeah, well, I think the best option was running the ball. I think they've been dominant running the ball inside the 5-yard line the last 5 years, and I don't think they do it enough.
And they just do that to inflate Brady's numbers?
This is
going to
be another one that's perceived to be a hater.
But you think that they do that just to inflate Brady? Look, they might call the wrong call.
All right, let me do it so it won't bother you. I think the Denver Broncos do that to inflate Manning's numbers.
Why? What? That's ridiculous, Paul. If they didn't do that, you'd be like, you have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and you're not using him in the red zone?
If you weren't successful, it'd be crazy.
I think
it'd be successful. No. If you weren't successful running the ball, listen. Before you yell and just mock, listen to what's being
mocking.
Said.
I'm not mocking. How am I mocking?
I don't think it's because instead of saying I don't agree with that, it's crazy. That's mocking. You're mocking me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's crazy.
You're mocking me. I think you're mocking him now.
I think that Denver absolutely throws the ball inside the 5-yard line on first and goal from the two.
They do.
To inflate his numbers.
To inflate his numbers. No, to score a touchdown.
Yeah. I think you can score a touchdown a lot of different ways.
You are
ways
so there. Cynical, Paul.
I think you can score a touchdown. I think it's just the way the game is played
now. And by the way,
now.
Folks, it's not just the Patriots. He's cynical. If you were
what I'm trying to tell you,
if
it's
you
not
were doing
about
Broncos and progress, you'd say the same thing about Manning.
And that's why
you're
I just
consistent.
Changed it off of Brady because right. you can't have a conversation when it's about the Patriots.
Right.
So I'm making it about other teams.
Right.
Because that's your favorite pastime.
You can't have a conversation.
No, I don't mean you, Fred. I mean in general, us. We can't have a conversation about the Patriots and have it be in any way objective. So we'll make it about other teams. Fred always likes to say, who has a better safety than Patrick Chung? You know.
I said that?
Yeah. He's a starting safety, caliber safety.
I say that when people say he stinks.
He does.
Oh, come on.
He certainly does in coverage.
Compared to, you know, Ronnie Lott. Okay.
Thank you, Fred Kirsch.
Are you freaking kidding me? Even
he doesn't stink.
He's not great. He's had some good
performances. Did you ever see him do what Eric Weddle did the other night? And I don't even think Eric Weddle's very good.
Does he stink compared to all the other safeties in the league?
Yes. I think he's below average in
coverage.
He's
below average.
Yeah.
Last year in Philadelphia, and again, you can take it with a grain of salt if you want, but the Pro Football Focus thing had him 83 out of 84 safeties.
I'm talking about right now.
Well done, Paul. Picking and choosing when to align.
Right.
So,
well,
but I mean,
I wasn't even going to go there.
No, but the reason I bring that stuff up is it's not me. He's always going to come back at me. I'm a hater. It's not me making the evaluation.
I listen to Rodney Harrison talk about how bad he is.
I'm not the one making the evaluation. I'm letting someone else do it.
I think he's playing pretty well. Look, he's not great, but
I think he's been better this year than he had ever been previously in his
career. I think the reason why we think that is because we thought he was so bad.
There might be part
of that. That's why we think that he's having a better year than we thought. No. We all thought he was a special teamer at best, off the roster at worst, and he's starting.
And
so everybody, I think, is putting
him out to be. Coverage has always been a strength of his game.
That's all. It's not about
we can disagree. It's okay.
It's not about hating. Like you just boil it down. That's why I took it off the Patriots. I think they do it with Manning too.
Sean in New Hampshire, for Christ's sake, if you guys would read my emails, Paul wouldn't be saying it's facts. It's all BS. I've sent in the screenshots in multiple times.
I've read those numbers. They don't mean that much
that
to me.
AFC East
I'm
record,
asking you when Buffalo has made the playoffs in the Belichick
that
era.
The AFC
I'm
East
asking
record,
you how many times the Jets have made the playoffs in the Belichick era.
They've made
and
the
how
playoffs.
Many times the Dolphins have made the playoffs in the Belichick era. Buffalo is zero. The Jets, are three. And Miami is two.
The AFC East record, strength of schedule, and out-of-division record over the last 15 years is in the middle of the pack. Third and fourth out of eight divisions. Go look it up and quit trolling.
It's not trolling. It's something you disagree with.
But
there's a difference.
But he says you're his favorite.
There's a difference between trolling and disagreeing. And I know you guys make fun of me when I say you don't have to agree. You don't. But it's not a troll factor.
No, but it is a
Buffalo
fact.
Buffalo has never made the playoffs.
Wise, record-
when you beat the same team 22 straight times, I'm sorry, that other team is not good. I don't care what they do against the other bad teams. They might beat Cleveland more often than Cleveland beats Buffalo. That doesn't mean they're good. They got blown out in a lot of their other games, too. There's a reason they don't make the playoffs. They only lose to the Patriots twice, right?
Right.
There's a reason that they've never finished above 500 in the Belichick era.
And they cancel each other out because
so
they play
only
so
lose,
competitive.
They only lose. Oh, yeah, I know. And Cincinnati and Pittsburgh don't cancel each other out. And Baltimore and Cleveland, they don't cancel each other out. But yet they all find a way to make the playoffs once in a while.
Who, Cleveland?
No, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So?
Oh, yeah.
And that's other than the AFC North.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
You know?
How about the AFC West? That had two.
The numbers don't
that
lie.
Had three playoff teams last
the
year.
The numbers don't.
Those
lie.
Are the numbers. These are the numbers I'm giving you. The AFC West had three playoff teams last year.
Yeah, last year. The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, last year.
Over the last 15 years, which is what we're talking about.
The AFC East has consistently been one of the worst divisions in football.
You know, not record wise.
After the Patriots.
Not record wise.
I don't care. They don't have better records than the other teams in the league, Fred, or they would make the playoffs.
And there's also an aspect of. There's other teams, you know, record-wise. If we're just going to go 15-year records, well, Kansas City had some real down years. But Kansas City was a good football team last year. Or San Diego has had some really down years. But they've been a playoff
Absolutely.
Team as well. The Jets and...
They
and
always go 6-10.
They may be 6-10 every year to boost them over a 15-year span. They've never been good.
Well,
the Jets had a two-year span
but
in 2009 and 2010, one of which they weren't a very good team, and they lucked into the playoffs and got a playoff run. The second year, they were good. They went 11-5. They had a good team. Miami was 11-5 in 2008. They were all right. They wouldn't have made the playoffs if the Patriots didn't lose Brady. No question about it. And what did they make the playoffs? Maybe once under Wannstedt in the early part of the decade, in 2000 maybe?
Maybe.
I mean, I'm sorry. When you can hand count the playoff appearances, 02, 09, and 10 for the Jets, and I think 2000 and 2008 for Miami, none for Buffalo. You can't stack that up against any other division.
Every other division has better high-end teams, in my opinion, than the AFC East has ever
had. Tennessee right
other
now,
than the Patriots.
Tennessee right now is 2-10. In the Belichick era, they were the number one seed in the AFC twice.
But same for Kansas City. Like, you forget that you had the Priest-Holmes Chiefs, then you had, I don't know, whatever, the Herm Edwards and when they went down, and now they're back up. These teams have the Jets, for a couple years, were quote-unquote up. I didn't even really think they were Super Bowl contenders. I know they were in the AFC title game, but every other division feels like it's had legitimate Super Bowl contenders at some point. The East just doesn't. It's the Patriots and the rest.
Jacksonville was a 12-4 wild card team in the Belichick era. You know, when did Miami go 12-4?
It's tough, you know, trying to manage a team in the shadow of the Patriots. It's tough.
You know what, Fred? That's part of it. That's why
I'm
telling you.
They make bad decisions, but we force them into them.
But I'm not going to go that far. But the fact that the Patriots are hanging over your shoulder like that, that is part of it.
You know, we included ownership, right?
I'm not trolling. It's ownership, it's coaching, it's quarterback. Yeah.
But ownership is a big one. I think the owners in the other cities were either asleep at the wheel or buffoons for the bulk of this 15 years.
Do you know who, in my opinion, the second best quarterback in the division in the entire Belichick era, in my opinion, is Chad Pennington.
Yeah, yeah, he was very consistent.
He won the division twice with two of those different teams, the 02 Jets and the 08 Dolphins.
Yep.
So I don't think Chad Pennington's a great quarterback. But in my opinion, he's the second best quarterback that division has seen other than Brady. If Peyton Manning was in the same division, you don't think things might be different?
Oh, sure.
And they would be different for Peyton Manning, too. Again, not trolling, just trying to present the fact.
Let's see.
New phrase, not trolling, just facts.
No, because the guy obviously...
He loves you. His guy.
It's not a hater thing. Fred keeps trying to portray it that way. It's not a hater thing. It's an immense advantage is what it is.
So it's a yeah, but.
If you want to call it yeah, but, call it yeah, but.
I just like when Fred says yeah, but.
Because she's from Jamaica.
That's crazy.
Happy warm holidays from the island. Keep doing what you guys do best, which is being the best football media guys. First off, I believe you guys should really get that RV idea up and running for next season. It's a damn good idea. This will push the program to another level, and above all, you'll be closer to the fans than ever before. Oh, yeah, how could I forget the free food from all the tailgating? The RV road trip bus should be a priority on y'all things to do list for next season, and you know that we're in a copycat league, so you'll be the first, the Lewis and Clarks, to do this. Get on it.
Do you know, are you aware of our idea? Well, Beetle and Andy's idea, I should say.
What's that?
Well, we figure if we got an RV,
yeah,
for home games, we would telecast from, or whatever the hell it's called, broadcast from the parking lot here, pick a different tailgate every week, set up in a different location. And then, not that we could go to San Diego, but Buffalo, New York, Philadelphia, we could do road trips and do it from the parking lot and sort of get in the midst of these Patriots tailgates, Patriots fans on sort of the Northeast Corridor road games. Yeah. We just need an RV, a sponsor, you know, pull it all together.
Okay.
You think we can do it?
Would we have like a satellite truck with us or something? How would we broadcast?
I have no idea.
Oh.
I'm out.
Okay.
I don't know how it works with ISDN lines and crap like that.
I can figure it out. All you need is the internet.
All you need is the internet.
Well, how would you get the internet out to the RV?
Well, if you have a wireless card, you know, like you'd put in your laptop, you can do the show on one of those.
Would that be enough, you think?
Yeah, no, that's what we use for backup for the
By the way, I had to do that for the San Diego game. I had to have that one of those mini
things. Told you that was a concern.
Yeah.
If you buy a wireless SD card that's just dedicated to doing the show, you can do it.
Okay.
We got a 4G hotspot.
No, but even that though,
we're supposed to say, why would you
Kevin,
want to do that?
Even that, if the local cell tower is swamped, that's not going to help you. Because you're still relying on your connection that you've got.
Yeah, I mean, obviously hardwire is best.
And we might be able to get hardwired in certain locations, right?
Maybe.
Run a line out from the facility.
Get your Enterasys guys on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I carry, like, Stream in, networks my, in my case, I carry, like, a 200-foot-long cable, too.
That's
we
a better
one. We had long. To use in Richmond.
We could go longer than 200 feet.
I mean, you saw what it was. Richmond, that tent was God knows how far
we
away.
We got an RV. We'll get one of those toy carriers with a hole set up in the back.
The only thing is, in Richmond, you didn't have 68,000 people potentially drawing off your cell tower.
Right.
Could you equip the RV with, like, its own Wi-Fi, password-protected Wi-Fi?
Again,
could do it with an airplane.
But
you
some still point, need a you network. Still need to get to some network.
Yeah,
you know?
You'd still need
unless
a network.
Unless you have a satellite dish. And then you can do it that way.
I don't think we'll have a satellite
I think
dish.
Robert will.
That'd be an eyesore on the cut down on gas mileage to drag as you're trying to drive to Pittsburgh.
Oh, you get one of those hydraulic ones like the TV trucks do.
As soon as the game's over in February, we'll start.
We need a sponsor, like 1-800-RV, to provide the RV. Maybe a beer sponsor. What? Wings.
Oh, now I'm interested.
You should have seen the look he was giving us. Oh, Beetle and I are talking about this. He's like, what the hell?
Well, they wanted to go to. Never mind.
Don't you think we could drive to Buffalo, to MetLife?
Of course we
to
could.
To Philly, to sure. Baltimore. Yeah. I don't know if Cincinnati is within range. You know, that's probably sort of the edge. Yeah. I think it'd be fun. Another reason Paul's looking for a new gig.
It took me 15 years.
Oh,
15
God.
Years. I'm not going back. I'm telling you.
I can't go back.
I'm not going back.
He's like the guy in Shawshank. He's going to hang himself.
Fred and I came to an agreement.
Good calls, Brian.
15 years, and you're doing nothing but trying to sabotage it.
But we'd be in the RV. Strippers and parties and fun.
That's not what he's... It's not about that for Paul. It's about being away from the home.
They don't really like him.
That's true.
They like me more than you guys. They don't call me crazy.
Jimmy the bartender, as a former Marine who recently spent time in San Diego, I absolutely loved the Brady chants. Patriots Nation travels well except to home games, it seems. I live and work in East Lansing and a Michigan resident. I've been to an intended a few Patriots Lions games at Ford Field, and traveling Patriots fans sound much louder than the Foxborough crowd. Does Bob Kraft need to lower beer prices and get the home crowd louder? Maybe the home crowd is soft and spoiled, or am I just imagining things? Anyway, the team is 10-3 and seemingly Super Bowl bound, and I'm picking nits. I guess I just want the New England area to fire up about the team's trajectory. Jimmy the bartender.
Do you think the road thing we've seen periodically in the past, this may be the biggest example of it. This might be the biggest crowd and the loudest crowd or whatever, however you want to quantify it. Do you think there might be an element? I think, first of all, when you go to a game on the road as a fan, you're generally more into the game and enthusiastic and loud than you would normally be. Because it's a trip.
It depends.
It's special.
If I was a lone Patriot fan of Philadelphia, I would not do that.
No. Fred, first of all, you'd never be the lone guy.
Well,
if you went to a game, you'd have friends that you went to the game with, I would assume. Yeah. You're not Eric.
Even then, you know.
You're not Eric. You have friends. Yeah. But my point is this. My point is that you like that?
Yeah.
My point is this. Do you think that when you're on the road and you have a big play or you have a big moment and you turn the game and whatever, you've won the game, the hometown fans are now silent. Don't you think that makes you sound louder when you...
Yeah.
Now, again, you have to have some numbers. You can't go in there with 10 people
right.
out of a crowd of 70,000 and make any noise. The Patriots obviously had tens of thousands of people there the other day. But don't you think that would sound louder?
Yeah, it does.
Because the rest of the stadium is completely silent on the road. I think at home... You just sort of business as usual. We won another game. And I do think that's a little bit of a lackluster crowd.
Yep.
But I think when you're on the road, it's special.
Yeah.
And it's a trip. And, you know, they just won the game, and now you have to take over the stadium.
It was so cool when, you know, for warm-ups, you know, the Patriots would run out, and everybody would cheer. And then the San Diego fans were realizing what was going on, so then they started booing. And they were like, it was a battle of the boos and the cheers. It was great.
Yeah, and you have to have numbers to do that.
Yeah.
Because if you only have, you know, a couple of thousand people, then I don't care how loud you are, you're going to get drowned out.
Right. All right, a few more phone calls to end the show. Let's make them quick. Silvio's in San Diego. Hey, Silvio.
Hey, Fred. Hey, I just wanted to vent about the Patriot offense. It looks like the September offense, and it looks like it's going to be another Super Bowl loss, and it really pisses me off.
Oh, really? You think? Well, the only difference between that, I think Gronk obviously isn't the way he was in September. I think LaFell isn't the way he was in September. I think it might come down a little bit to the offensive line at this point.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yeah. I think Shoulder is a better run blocker than pass blocker, and it becomes a problem when he has to pass block.
And that's a problem for a left tackle in a pass-happy league.
Yep. Exactly.
But he also wasn't good against the run the other day. He got blowed up a couple times against the run.
I have, I guess, more faith in the offense than you do, Silvio. But I will say, I believe if they continue to be in the low 20s, they will get knocked out. They will not go. They're not going to win three games like that, I don't think. I think you need to score. I have faith that they'll be. I think Fred's right. I think you have Gronkowski and LaFell at much higher levels than they were earlier in the season, and I think they'll get it going again.
I think part of the problem, too, is that Belichick gives the opponent too much credit. They need to go in there thinking that they're the dominant team and that the other team, they may be good, but they're not as good. And when they give them too much respect, they just play too tight and they just don't play well.
Well, that's a little bit of a spin on sort of my Super Bowl, 2007 Super Bowl in Glendale, you know, that they took it too businesslike, and at times you do need to rile the boys up and say, you're the better team on this bleeping field. Get out there and prove it, that kind of mentality.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about it, though. Bill's way of work and businesslike works really well for consistency over the course of a season because you don't ride a roller coaster. So you have to pick and choose maybe when you kind of fire that furnace up and really tweak them. And I think you wait for the playoffs to try to do that. Now, whether you do it successfully or not, because it's out of the norm, well, I don't know. That's up to him. That's why he's a
coach. I have faith in the offense, though. I mean,
yeah, I do too.
I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm on board with it. I mean, they could lose along the way, but I will be picking them to win the Super Bowl.
Certainly, the last three games, I'll be picking them to win. And that means that you're the number one seed. And right now, like Fred likes to say, you know, things can change or whatever. Conditions on the ground might change. Right now, I can't envision myself saying that the Patriots will lose at home to anybody in the AFC.
I'm just going to say it right now. If Brady, Gronkowski, and Revis are healthy, I'm taking the Patriots in the AFC title game 27-21.
Okay.
Is my score.
All right.
I don't care who's coming to town.
You had a vision.
As long as those three play, 27-21 Patriots, you're going to Arizona.
Paul, on the Browner hit, does it change your opinion at all to know that you're in direct agreement with Teddy Bruschi?
I'm not going to lie. I'm really surprised by that.
Yeah. He says he thought it was contact in the neck area.
I think I'm very contradictory.
His neck goes down to his chest.
I don't like a league that
all necks go down to chests. Right. That's kind of where they connect.
I don't like a league where that hit is not permissible because I think he hit him with his shoulder and he didn't make direct contact with the head. So to me, that hit should be okay. The way that they have drawn up the rule, I think that they're going to call that.
Right. We'll see if he gets a FedEx letter.
He won't.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Well, then, what are we talking about here?
Well, you can get a penalty without a FedEx. Yeah,
that kind of penalty? Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't think he hit him in the head.
Okay.
So, again, Teddy Bruschi's right. It doesn't have to be in the head to be a penalty.
Alex is in Chicago. Hey, Alex.
How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
All right. So, obviously, I thought it was great that we saw that our defense can win a game for us, which is important.
Can the offense?
That Brandon LaFell fumbled. They only gave up 7 coins.
Right.
And they look pretty good defensively. As a Patriots fan, I've never seen so many plays where the quarterback is just sitting in the pocket for like 5 to 6 seconds. But I think that this goes to show that the coverage is so damn good, but we don't have a pass rush.
Did you mean Sunday?
It doesn't matter.
Sunday night, I don't know. I thought the pressure was pretty good Sunday night.
It was okay. There were still plays where he had a lot of time.
Beyond the first play of the game, I can't really recall.
He had a few, but it wasn't as bad as last week. The pressure was definitely better
this week. I thought the biggest difference in the game was San Diego's offensive line could not handle the Patriots. They never got going offensively because Rivers never got comfortable in that game.
I have a quick question. Why is it that Bill Belichick loves Scott Zolak so much?
Thanks for the question. I think he respects anyone who played the game first. Zolak, you know,
Paul, what do you think?
Pretty much plays ball with him in the questions that he asks. He doesn't really challenge him that much. You know, and again, it goes back to, I think most players that played the game, unless they've, you know, tried to trash talk the Patriots, Belichick has respect for, you know, and Zolak falls into that. I mean, should he not like Zolak? I mean, why wouldn't you like Zolak?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Who doesn't like Zolak?
I love Zolak. Yeah. I don't know why you would not like Zolak.
He's thoroughly entertaining.
Unless you took shots, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I think that
if Freddie Mitchell was on the broadcast team, I don't think Belichick would allow him to have that interview.
Yeah. I mean, Okay. I don't know if there's anything special there. I mean, they didn't have time for Rodney Harrison a couple of weeks ago, who is, you know, more of a national analyst and probably has not said everything about the Patriots the way that they would probably like it to be portrayed.
But we don't know how Bill would treat Rodney if Rodney were here every week. And
I don't like Rodney.
But if Rodney
was
here every
week. I don't. I don't.
Okay. What's his act?
What is his act?
You know, he's not a he does still bias a little toward the Patriots, but I think he's just too angry all the time, no matter who he's talking to.
I'll take your word.
He definitely has an
edge. He still has that chip on his shoulder. It's like, yes, it's over.
Wait, are you talking TV or these radio hits?
Both.
Because the radio hits, I think he's kind of an a-hole.
Yeah, both.
He has a chip on his shoulder, absolutely.
I don't know why. I think he looks down on people.
I there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
He comes off, I don't know if he is, but he comes off as an a-hole in the radio hits. There's no doubt.
And I even think on TV a little bit.
I agree with you guys.
TV?
With Dungy.
I think they're terrible. We were talking about this the other night. They have such limited analysis, and it's just like,
you know what,
it's almost like us doing picks on Thursday.
You know, what they both
said? They're going to win.
Right.
You know what they both said? Why they both picked the Patriots to win. You know why?
Why?
They lost last week.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating.
They're not the only ones that said that. Chris Berman said the Chargers would win because they're wearing the powder blue. You can't lose.
Yeah, but Berman's kind of a clown.
Right.
This is a Super Bowl coach and a Super Bowl champion.
No,
to me, there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
You know, I just
and everyone was saying, and now after the game, they were right.
Even Bill acknowledged, you know, citing night, they had the powder blues on.
Right.
Like, even Bill acknowledged that as a thing.
All right. John's here, but he's not here.
He doesn't like you.
Oh, okay.
He's mad at you, he said.
Really?
Yeah, because you ripped him that one time.
When did I rip him?
No, that time.
We got to get going, right?
We do. We have to go do our TV show.
Highly rated. Ratings winner.
Yeah, big ratings last week.
How do we know that, by the way?
Fred told me.
I sent them to you.
Yeah, but how do you know the other ones?
It's in there read it. I asked them to do the ratings of the other show.
Oh, because I've looked at that, and they haven't been in there.
They're not
it's not in the chart. It's in the text.
It's up top.
Oh.
Patriots Football Weekly compares to blah, 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 blah.
I had them do that.
Nice.
We kicked ass and took names last week.
Did we really? We're on a little bit of a streak.
Well, we didn't really kick ass. We were better. I didn't want to fluff it up like
it's still a good number.
All right. Well, John is busy, but his show is coming up. The Playbook with John Rook coming up next. And then fantasy is still going, right? Fantasy football season is still here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think you might be in the playoffs now.
Okay. So very important fantasy coming
very
up.
Very important. You're in the money. You're in the playoffs. You got to listen.
So you definitely want to do that. We're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. More calls and emails. Excited about the Miami Dolphins coming in. Excited about this game. Patriots in a good division. We'll be back tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football.